Traveling the Vortex.
We've joined the Doctor as he travels the Vortex and landed at episode number 87, and it appears I've collided with ancient Greece. I'm Sean.
And I'm Glenn.
And I'm Keith.
Whoa!
I'm Keith back!
I'm back from holiday. And slightly darker. I'm surprised the Doctor didn't get darker.
Slightly darker.
I'm surprised the Doc. It's a good
like
thing.
Your Hartnell, mood's darker. My, or your attitude's darker.
My complexion is slightly darker. And red. Slightly, darker. Slightly red.
I want to discuss Chrissy having a heart attack just now because it was my open and my greeting and then your greeting. And she was, I'm sure she was like,
but wait a minute. He was supposed to be back. And why wasn't he back?
We'll explain later when we get to her feedback.
That's right, Chrissy. We're just that heartless.
Yes. I'm surprised that it's a good thing it was black and white because I'm surprised the Doctor never came back with a tan. Going to Spain.
Now I understand where you're going with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's okay. Where I was going
gotcha.
With that.
Gotcha.
I actually thought of that while I was down in Mexico. I was like...
Yeah, but you weren't in Spain.
I know. But...
We're all pale up there.
England to Spain, still closer to the equator, still more so.
Not much.
That's closer.
That's the beauty of the black and white broadcast.
Like, that's like Kansas to Texas. I mean, the distance.
It's hot in Texas.
Yeah. How many people come back from Texas with suntans and burns?
That's the beauty of the
and on holiday, way down on the equator.
And on holiday, you forget sunscreen.
You probably could have thrown a stone to the equator as probably. Close as you were.
That's the beauty of the black and whites is that Hartnell, when he came back from Spain, he actually looked a lot like George Hamilton. But you can't tell.
Thank you.
I'm Glenn.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Keith.
Oh, wait, we did that.
We did that bit.
So what did everybody do this week? Sean, what did you do this week?
I went back to school again.
Wait, no, you're going back to school this week because we're recording on Monday. So today was your first day, right?
No, I went last week, too.
You did?
Yeah.
Why didn't we talk about that? Oh, no, because that would have been before.
It was upcoming.
Yes.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
I'm a little lost, so. Who's calling you?
Keith is apparently texting me.
Oh.
I did a while ago.
I apologize. If you hear any strange noises, my phone is still trying to sort out ice cream sandwich, and so we're not, it's doing strange things. I'll just chuck it down there.
Ice cream sandwich.
I went back to school, and so the new semester started up, and I had all kinds of additional things foisted on me because, you know, I'm the vice president of the Washburn Student Film and Video Association, and so I had to go to a government meeting, and then one of my teachers asked if I'd like to be on the student media board, and I said, well, sure, I mean, you ask. I'm kind of a sucker. People ask me things. It's like, yeah, okay, because I can't turn them down. Yeah, student media board, it basically means...
Sean, can I borrow $100?
Okay. student media board basically means I'm a board member. Like, for real. Like, they were voting on the budget for how much to pay the reporters of the Washburn Review, and I had to give yay or nays.
Wow.
Yeah. It also means that I was It also means that I was a board member.
So I'm going to go back to
sitting there going, what did I get into?
Oh, no, why?
Good thing you got your iPad back.
Yeah, let's talk about your purchase.
It's still in progress.
It's still in progress.
He'll have it because he'll either A, forget when the 14 days are up.
No, it's 45.
Or,
I'm a reward silver member. You see all this stuff? I get special perks.
He'll either forget when 45 days is up or he'll decide that he likes it.
I purchased an iPad specifically to get out from underneath buying a $200 French book. And I figured if I could get the French book as a digital file and read it online, a tablet is worth of an investment versus a $200 French book that I will never use after the semester is over.
Can
with.
You get other of your
Which,
books
by the way,
this semester
I have
on the iPad?
Other of my books,
we were
yes.
talking about
on,
you being
on,
a slave.
On the pad?
Yes.
Okay.
We were talking about you being a slave to Wi-Fi, but Washburn should have Wi-Fi hotpoints
oh,
all
do.
Over
yeah.
the place.
No, they do.
Yeah,
they
so
do. It's just
that won't be so bad.
Yeah, it's not so bad. I didn't spring for the big one. I just got an iPad 2 with a 16 gig capacity, and I don't consider myself cheap because it's not an iPhone.
Capacity.
It's the gateway drug.
This
you,
was the gateway
you started,
drug.
Yeah, the gateway
okay,
drug was
yes,
the MacBook Pro. Yeah.
You're working your way down, Sean. You got the big one, then the next
actually,
small one.
Actually, he's becoming a true film student.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You go into Mac. You go Mac. That's what happens.
It won't be long. His next phone. It wouldn't surprise me.
No, I'm not getting an iPhone.
I'm not saying I might do an iPhone.
I might allow myself an Apple TV, but that's kind of the extent of
that's my next purchase. By the way, Apple TV.
So
I'm getting two of them. So
and then Thursday, I had a very enjoyable evening. We traveled to Kansas City and went to the Cinemark Theater on the Plaza and saw Jaws.
Dun.
I talked about that last week, didn't I?
No, you talked about the Blu-rays.
I talked about the Blu-rays. I saw it on the big screen.
Which was your first time?
Yeah, ever. And it was everything. It was everything I could have hoped for. I mean, this was
on your bucket list for one thing. This is one of your goals in life was to see Jaws on the big screen.
Yeah, in a darkened theater full of people when that shark comes out of the water. Just to be in that environment, that kind of kinetic feel to it. And it didn't matter that... I mean, I don't know. This is probably a 300-seat theater. It was maybe half full. So 150 people, which is still a good-sized crowd. I think for Jaws.
Not bad.
And then I'm sure of the 150, probably 70% of them were probably film students or film buffs of some sort. There were a few people that were like, just kind of out of the corner of my eye in the dark, watching them react to things. It's like, you've never seen this before, have you? So it was kind of cool to get that reaction, too.
Film buffs had dragged along to go see the movie.
Come on, we're going to go see Jaws.
Oh, we got a trip.
So, but despite even being film buffs, everybody laughed at the right jokes. Everybody jumped at the shark. The head coming through the thing. The girl in front of me, she cleared her seat. She was like 3 feet in the air. And it was everything I could have wished for. And I just sat there and marveled at, once again, what a perfect movie this is. This is not a frame of film I don't love. And it was awesome.
That's awesome.
I didn't get to look at the packaging last week. So
no, he's looking at the Blu-ray book now.
But yeah, if you have the opportunity...
He's just interested in what we did this week.
Yeah, apparently.
I'm listening.
But apparently
it just reminded me, because I listened, then you guys talked about the Blu-ray so much that I wanted to look at the Blu-ray.
Well, we didn't mean to. It just kind of happened.
Well, but there's a lot of things we don't mean to do on this show.
There was a lot that happened last week we didn't mean to happen. That kind of... It was like a boulder. We pushed it up the hill, and then it got away from us and rolled down.
Hey, he was opening me up and pouring beer down my throat. So.
Which, that was so hilarious.
Bring me my screwdriver and my plumber's helper. I'll open his mouth and shove it in.
What else, Sean? What else?
That was really pretty much it. Back to school and done nothing but homework and board meetings. Although, the one thing I will say for this is getting into the student government and kind of figuring out... Washburn apparently has... There's a lot of money out there for student groups.
Sure. Especially the semi-private university.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to do the research tomorrow and find out whether or not there's a disc golf group on campus.
Ooh.
And if there isn't, I'm going to start one.
There you go.
And I'm going to elect myself president. And
there
I'm
going
to go and request some money from the board to put a course on campus.
Hey.
So,
awesome.
Ooh.
We're going to take room for it, too.
We're going to take advantage of this. So,
I'm a little surprised there's not one on campus.
There should be.
Yeah.
Well, especially because, I mean, they've got the land. They've got the space. And you consider how many Washburn has a ton of transfer students.
Yeah.
There is a large number of transfer students that come from, like, out of country to study here. And they're in the dorm. So, I mean, you're pretty much stuck on that acreage where you live in the dorm, and then you go to class, and then you go to the union, and then you go back to the dorm. You never leave that, square block.
Right. Occasionally wander over to Tortilla Jack's.
Yeah. Well, if you get brave.
if you get brave.
A lot of them don't know what's there. So
that's true.
That's kind of a scary little corner over there, too. So.
Not during the day. Well, you guys go to Burger Stand. It shouldn't be that bad.
Well, that's true.
They've cleaned it up much more than it
used
to be.
Burger Stand the area's pretty good.
So I figured
it's... Not that anybody knows what we're talking about.
Yeah.
What did you do this week, Glenn?
What did I do this week? Well, this week, movie-related, I've actually gone back and I've started watching. Now that I have some time, I don't have Big Finish Audios eating up my entire week. I've been going back and watching or picking up on the movies I either have never seen or haven't seen for such a long time that I don't remember a lot of the plot elements on AFI's top 100 list.
Oh, nice.
Just got ambitious the beginning of this week and decided to do it. So I've gone back and watched African Queen.
Good one.
Goodfellas, which I had seen, but it had been so long.
Also a good one.
In fact, I think I saw that in high school. High Noon.
I've never seen that.
I have seen that a long time ago, but that's what got me started.
Because
we talked last week, and you said that you had never seen High Noon. And that was one of the things that you wanted to do. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast or not. We talked about it last week before or after we were recording. And I thought, wow, you know, I haven't seen that in a long time. So I went home that night and watched it.
If I'd have known, we could have gone, because I think it's next week's.
Is it?
We could have gone to the theater to see it.
But anyway, so I started with that one, and then I've watched
you have a cough coming on, don't you, Glenn?
A little bit.
Hey, you're already off Friday.
I am already off Friday. And maybe that's it. It seems like there was one more in there that
I thought
watched
I remember
this
seeing
week.
On a Get Google update that you checked into something else.
I think so. Maybe it'll come to me later. Oh, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Did you never seen that one?
I have seen that one again. Well, that's the problem is I'm going through like Hulu and Netflix and the stuff that I have in my collection.
What's available.
And watching what's available. And so far, most of them have been ones I've seen. But again, I need to go through your list too.
I might have a few of those.
But most of those are, that I watched this week are ones I just hadn't seen in a long time. But it was like they're here available and I didn't remember a lot about them. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I didn't realize this until I watched it again. That I must have seen it more recent than everything else because I remembered it really well. It was Goodfellas I didn't remember as well, and High Noon I didn't remember as well. But anyway, so
both Goodfellas and Cuckoo are ones that Mel has not seen that I've got on the list for her to watch. We just haven't got to yet.
Oh, so.
And then this week I got free tickets to World of Fun. So I took the kids and Holly to World of Fun on Saturday, and we decided that we had a Groupon for a overnight stay in Kansas City. So we thought, you know what? We're just going to make it a nighttime thing because we rarely ever go to the park at night. Oh. And so we went later in the day. We started at like 1 and we're there until, we almost closed the park. I think it was 9:30 when we finally left and they closed at 10. And so because we hadn't seen the Snoopy's Hot Summer Nights that they do, it's like just all the lit up as you walk through.
Yeah.
Was it Scandinavia? Or no, Europa and Africa, I think, have the all the lights. And so we stayed until nightfall and walked through there. And this was kind of a test for Mason, too, because he's never been. And we've always been a little leery about taking him and paying the high dollar for a ticket for him to only be able to do a few things. And
for a free ticket, you can't turn
exactly.
It down.
Oh, he's real skittish on rides. And so even in Camp Snoopy, or Planet Snoopy, as it's called now, we weren't sure. But we totally got what would have been our money's worth for him because he enjoyed it and had a lot of fun.
Oh, that's great.
Then we stayed overnight, went to the Oak Park Mall on Sunday, and then drove back.
And it turned out to not be too bad a weekend.
No,
I know
it wasn't bad at all.
About rain,
it was not bad at all. That was the nice thing was overcast all day. The sun only came out like once, which was great because it kept the temperatures down. It only rained on us twice. It rained when we first got to the park, and it rained one time in the evening. That was it. And we were, of course, here in Topeka, we were having rain off and on.
Yeah, we got rain all day.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Saturday over there was fantastic. And it kept everybody away, too, though, I think. So we were on and off of rides in no time. We didn't wait in line more than 2 or 3 minutes anywhere.
That's really nice.
Oh, it was. We just jump on and off. Yeah. And Caitlin and I rode so many more things this time than we had in the past.
And for the uninitiated, Worlds of Fun is a amusement park owned by Cedar Fair in Kansas City.
It's technically a theme park, isn't it?
Because
there's
a
theme to it.
What'd you call it?
It's called an amusement park. It does have a theme, though. It's based on Around the World in 80 Days.
Used to be. It's not so much anymore. Yeah. It's falling out of that theme.
Well, it is falling out of that theme. But that's why there's different countries within it, the Europe and Africa. And, because it's based on the 5 continents that were in the book.
Right. But again, it's falling out of that theme, unfortunately. So that was my week. Keith, you didn't do anything exciting.
Nothing too exciting. We'll get to that in a little bit.
That's right.
That's a huge section to come. Because there's a lot to talk about.
We're going to have to, just tease everybody on that one for a little bit. Well, let's move on to news.
News.
We've got
Keith's
a lot
here
to
this
talk
week,
about.
So we make him just talk about it all. Since I made you talk about
it. I'm going to be talking about a lot of stuff later.
We both talked about it, but I made you bring it up.
As long as you lob the softball up there and give me a cue as to what I'm supposed to be talking about, I'm okay. If you just look at me and go, I get stage fright.
All right, the first bit is
a certain companion is going to
he's right on top of it. I don't even have to tell him what we're talking about.
I don't remember what order
it's good to have
he
you
wrote
back,
it.
Keith.
Thank
it's
you.
Good to have you back.
It's good to be back. A certain companion is going to be.
I hate both of
at
you.
Galley.
This should have been your news. You're the Galley man.
You're the Galley man.
Galley one man.
I'm setting this up for Sean now.
Oh, is that what you're doing?
That's what I'm doing.
Here.
That's why I'm not giving it all away right away.
Ah.
Yeah. You want me to just take the rest of it?
No.
Okay.
Oh, you put it up there. Now I want it.
I don't know if I want to give it to you now.
Oh.
Go ahead.
the recently burgled Arthur Darvill.
Yes.
I still haven't seen that picture.
We did see that last... Talk about that last week. Oh, we should have posted that on the website.
Oh, yeah, we didn't do that. We did. Make a note. We'll put it on this week's... The sad remains of Arthur Darvill's house. yeah, Rory is going to be at Galley 1.
Woot!
That's pretty much all I had. That's big news.
Well, that news came out right after, of course.
Yeah, literally, like an hour after we were done slogging our way
home. Spelled burgled. B-U-R-G-A-L-E-D? Burgled.
Burgled.
I think that's right.
It looks right. Nope, it's not.
It's just my note, so it doesn't matter.
Wow, that is quite
a mess. I guess you'd be burglarized,
did you find it?
Yeah, I found the picture.
Isn't that horrible?
Yeah.
No, it's B-U-R-G-L-E-D. Burgled.
L-E-D. Burgled.
Burgled, burgled.
Today's word is
And that totally
burgled.
Does look like a keyboard.
Rubble, rubble.
Doesn't it look like a keyboard?
It does.
I didn't know Rory was musical.
Did you see? And there's like a keyboard up here. I listened back to that show and I thought, wow, did I totally ignore him?
Apparently.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
He was like, he totally talked about all of the musical instruments in this room and then like, I don't know, 2 minutes later went, is that a keyboard? Again? Beer.
You were preoccupied. Yeah.
Slightly intoxicated.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think I'd add that much.
Apparently you had.
We weren't keeping track. It was just a matter of, somebody drink it, please, before it goes stale. Keith's not here. This is kind of big news. This is the first current series companion, although by the time Galley 1 rolls around, he won't be current anymore. But.
Well, and that's I don't know how stringent the BBC is about this anymore. Because, although I think they have most of the control over their appearances now, but back in the day, I know several years ago, there was a guest at, I don't know if it was Gallifrey or if it was one of the other conventions, but they were talking about how when they are actively employed by the BBC for the program, they are not allowed to appear at conventions, obviously unless sanctioned by the BBC, which explains why they would be able to go to Comic-Con. Excuse me. But they're not allowed in
the official one.
Yeah, official one, those kind of things.
Yeah.
However, unless it's pre-okayed. So, fortunately, Rory, Arthur, would be out of that sort of commitment at that point and is free to, you know, attend any sort of conventions that he wants to, I would assume. So,
it adds one more person to the list from Good Man Goes to War.
That's right.
I mean, they're really, they've got everybody from that episode except friend of the show and personal follower of mine, Simon Fisher-Becker.
Guess what? He followed me 2 days before he followed you.
Guess what? He followed me 3 days, or like
I think it was six. Yeah.
6 days before
it took almost a week for him to start following.
Guess what? I got to hang out with him in L.A., so I'm so over that.
Fair enough.
Friend of Sean.
Friend of Sean.
Not friend of the show. Personal friend of Sean.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it almost feels like that's what they're shaping up for, because, you know, they're going to announce River Song soon. Alex Kingston will be there.
Is there 24 hours of, is there a way to reference that? I mean, because it's 24 hours of Gallifrey or something like that, isn't it? What's it called?
Yeah. The 24 hours of Gallifrey 1.
Which makes me, I'm trying to see if there's a way that they're kind of connecting the dots there.
No, they just... No.
They're just trying to get as many people as they can for the 50.
Well, they needed something for 24.
Yeah.
Because that's this...
It was such a great story that he told, too, because he said, we did Gallifrey 1, and he said it made sense to me that the following year would be Gallifrey 2. And everybody in the convention staff said, no, it's the return of Gallifrey 1. And it has gone that way ever since, that Gallifrey 1 has been whatever, you know, whatever ridiculous, silly title we have to come up with.
But because, I love the 24-hour thing because you could play on that. You could do the 24 hours of... I mean, of course... Maybe if you look at the schedule, it's not 24 concurrent hours, but there probably are 24 hours in the Gallifrey schedule. So,
yeah, probably.
Total.
Maybe more.
12 for 2 days. Or
it's 3 days.
It is a 3 days convention.
Festival. So.
But one of them is only half a day. So, like, Friday's only like noon to something, isn't it?
No, it's pretty much all day, I think.
Or is it till noon on Sunday?
No, it went all till 5 o'clock. The closing ceremonies were 5 o'clock Saturday night. Okay.
I don't know, man.
And if you count LobbyCon...
No, you can't count LobbyCon. That's not official.
Not official.
Anyway, so Rory.
That's pretty cool.
Gallifrey 1.
Gallifrey 1. What else is in the news, Keith?
We have an official release date.
Woo!
Finally.
for the U.S.
For the
last
US?
Week,
no.
we did have a... Oh, it wasn't official last week. You're right.
We weren't sure
on that one yet either.
For
Cross
US.
Sean was making it official.
UK.
It was not official last week.
US, UK, and Canada.
I was proven right, though, wasn't I?
threw my whole Labor Day weekend theory out of the window.
Prognosticate
well,
this.
Australia's getting it late. The 8th.
That doesn't have anything to do with Labor Day, though, because they don't celebrate Labor Day. But Australia just does weird.
The 8th. Yeah.
Australia does some weird stuff.
Well, what do you expect from a land entirely peopled by criminals? That was a movie line. That's
shame
not
on
me.
You. Shame on you. What a racist. Or
what?
Australianist.
Nationalist?
Nationalist. There you go.
Nationalist. No way, I'm the one inventing words.
Yes.
Regardless, season 7 starts September 1st. And we also got a new BBC America exclusive trailer, which had some footage from episode 5.
Some quick looks. Yeah.
Some quick looks. Some angels. And
yeah. We got some.
I don't think we're spoiling anything when
we
say
River
Song.
Angels. We got some River Song.
Yeah.
Which we had before, too. But
not much.
Anyway, so yeah, exciting news there. I don't know what else we can
say. I can't be excited about it anymore.
We've been talking about how we've speculated
these
the release date for so long.
News articles.
Like, so what's our reaction to that?
Yay! Of course we're going to be excited.
Unfortunately, I was secretly hoping it would be the 8th.
Why?
Because I knew you were going to try to organize a viewing party, and I'm going to be out of town next weekend. So I'm going to miss the viewing party. So.
We going to have a viewing party?
Well, that's what he said. He stuck his head out the door the other day and said, we're going to have a viewing. We've got to set up a viewing this was Friday Night Who. We got to set up a viewing party for the first episode, The Return. And I was like, I'm going to be out of town.
Where are you going now,
so,
then?
He mentioned that 2 days ago, and he still hasn't done anything about setting up a viewing party.
Sarah asked, are we going to watch it with Sean and Mel?
Aw, yeah, she thinks so. Of us. Where are you going to go out of town to, Glenn?
I'm going to Hutchison. Like, we go to every Labor Day. You know that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Every Labor Day weekend. Big project with the Bartletts.
Oh, speaking of
is
which.
Labor Day again?
I have show notes.
It seems like you were just there.
No.
Write down. We have show notes we need to discuss after the show.
Show notes after the
scheduling
show.
Recording time stuff.
Oh, Lord. Why?
I got an email from our boss.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I know what it is. Sorry. That was my fault.
Don't leave me hanging.
No, not you.
It was.
No.
It was.
Oh, was he?
Because he was going to have me do it. And
oh,
then I told him I couldn't because I just got two kids in school that I have to drop off.
I just assumed that it was just back to status quo after teaching you.
No, it was. he said he was going to have me do it, and I couldn't. So.
Well.
Must be a morning
Darn
show thing.
It's a morning show
it's
thing.
It's a morning show thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, all next week I'm producing the morning show again.
Woo!
Which I don't know what they're. Well, I'm working Friday, though, so we're good.
So September 1st.
Yay! All right, next bit of news.
I think Keith's throwing our mojo off. You know, we're a little.
Yeah, we were more in sync last week, weren't we?
It's like a third wheel or something. He's like that Mr. Bean automobile. What were those called? The guys on Top Gear would know.
Yeah. What was it? It had the one wheel in the front, the two wheels in the back.
Fun story. I watched an episode of Top Gear for the first time, I don't know, last week sometime. I'd never seen it. You guys ever seen the show?
Yep.
I saw the section with Matt Smith on it.
Okay. You've seen enough of Top Gear to get it then. I'd never seen it before. And I'm watching this, and all of a sudden it dawns on me, there's an Eighth Doctor audio adventure that Big Finish has done called Max Warp.
Right,
where
right.
He lands on the set of this spaceship show, and they're talking about this spaceship's hot and this one's Sub-Zero Cold Stupid.
Right.
On and on and on. They're going back and forth like this. And then Darcy's like, oh, you couldn't put that one on the board. And he changes the positions. I mean, he has a lot of fun with it. And I really liked this particular audio. I thought it was great. And then I watched Top Gear and went, oh,
that's
where it comes from. So for me, it was this big
revelation.
You know, I'm ready to watch the show now just based on the Doctor Who tie-in that I get it.
Very cool.
So anyway.
Well,
that was a tangent and a half.
That was.
All right.
Next bit. All right, we're recording
about
Monday.
The reason I brought that up is the episode that I happened to watch, they mentioned the three-wheeled car.
Oh.
That's why there was a connection there. Not just me jumping off the deep end
right.
and trying
gotcha.
To swim.
All right.
But I can't remember the name of it.
Way to bring it back around. Connect it. It's not a tangent if you can connect it.
You should know by now, my train of thought is not linear in any sense of the word. My train of thought is the train at the end of Back to the Future 3. We've gone off the trestle, we're on fire, in a state of free fall, and exploding. That's my train of thought.
I thought you were going to say it was a big ball of wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey stuff. So,
that would have brought it back around.
Oh. That's true. You're plummeting fire to your fiery death.
This here, how's this for bringing it back around?
Oh, even more.
I saw a picture of...
Sorry, I didn't mean that to sound skeptical.
Matt Smith and Karen Gillan arriving at the New York premiere in DeLoreans.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was news to me today.
It was news. The one bit of news that I saw this week.
I just thought that was
so cool. I did see that one, yeah. In fact, Robert at work pointed that out to me.
Somebody on one of the Who groups on Facebook, I saw, you know, hey, look, Doctor Who in a DeLorean. And my brain melted.
Next bit of news. Pond Life.
Pond Life.
They announced earlier this week that there was going to be a series of 5 mini prequels leading up to the premiere, and we got recording Monday.
I feel almost cheated because this story came out and I was on it. I mean, I got the confirmation from BBC. I think we were like the second people to report this outside BBC. Obviously they were the first, but we were number 2 down the line after that. I was on this story and I was really jazzed, and it was like boom, Pond Life, and now all of a sudden the first episode was already aired today. We haven't even had a chance to talk about the upcoming Pond Life miniseries.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, just this they're whole doing week stuff is so rapid fire. Well, yeah. Now that they finally made up their mind.
Just it. They waited so long. We got a lot to squeeze, you know.
They waited so long to announce the release date that, you know.
Squeezing everything in.
How long has it been since we've had New Who? I don't remember. Yeah.
Long enough to have planned all this out.
Now have some New Who.
Yes.
With Pond Life Part 1. Which is 55 seconds in length,
and
including credits.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. Any thoughts on it other than fun? Any ideas where they're heading with it?
Now, here's the thing. I think that by the end of the 5 parts, maybe we'll have some sort of actual prequel. But as it stands now, with this first 55 seconds, you really can't tell where we're going with it. You know what I mean?
It's like the doctor's calling in and reporting what he's doing and why he's running behind and picking them up for whatever reason. Yeah. And maybe that's where they're heading. In the last one, he finally picks them up.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the opening of The Impossible Astronaut.
A little bit. And the prequel to it.
They're reading the little excerpts, and he's on the movie in front of them, and they don't realize it.
Yeah,
they're trying to pick up on these clues, you know, that the doctor's essentially been leaving them. So,
yeah.
Although this time he's just directly telling them,
leaving them.
This
a voice
is where I'm at. I'm coming.
I think it would have been great to see him actually surfing on the surfboard instead of just jumping after it. I think that would have been a really cool image,
because he kind of did that dive thing, which once he hit that fiery water, that was going to hurt just a little bit, even if he landed squarely on the board.
Yeah. Any moments that stand out in this 50, what did you say it was, 51? 55 seconds worth of New Who footage that is just like, awesome. I mean, what's your favorite bit of the 55 seconds?
I think it's pretty cool to actually we've seen Matt Smith encounter at least once on Taran. But seeing him.
Oh.
Seeing him.
There was at least 6. But you're saying in
facing
the past,
off actually against Santarans instead of teaming up with him. I think that's kind of neat.
Yeah, it was neat.
And I loved his reaction.
Oh, man.
Really? Glenn?
That was mine. It was just really that. And
I thought the laying backing vocals were a little cheesy.
Yeah, that was a little cheesy.
That was my next question is, okay, are there any parts that just really stood out to you as a...
A little cheesy, but on the flip side of that, it was different. It was, I mean, part of that is maybe it was so different. We've never seen anything connected to that in Doctor Who at all.
It almost
the urban, you know, music
though.
Scene. And it did seem a little out of character, but the more I think about it and let it soak in, the more accepting or impressed I am by it, because of the fact that it's just something that they've never really done. I mean, you know, it was odd to see the doctor there laying vocals down in this
with a backwards
booth,
cap.
You know, it was just, yeah, it was.
Another hat.
I sort of liked that, even though it was very un-Who-like. I thought that was kind of neat now that I think about it. I liked it. That's my favorite part. No.
I kind of hope they release a song.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be really cool. Hear the audio, the
then
song.
I wouldn't have a problem with it.
What was the Ian Levine one? No, we don't want a song.
No, he just
Doctor
has to be laying
Doctor
background
yeah.
vocals.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. Do I get to play that this week again?
Roll out with
no,
it.
No, Chris, yeah, I won't do that to you again.
It doesn't have to be about who. It can just be him
what about
in
you,
the background.
Sean? Some darns?
I have,
you made a comment about.
I really liked the Naughty Mata Hari bit with the stick.
That was a little funny too. The donut on the end of the stick.
Well, that just the fact that they're once again we're getting these not so subtle hints that he's not completely asexual.
Right.
He's
got
at least some sort of urges. So. And the rapping.
We don't know that he acted on it, though.
No.
Seems like she was advancing on it.
Oh, yes. So. Well, that was kind of her MO.
That was pretty obvious, too, from the clip.
But, I don't know about the rap. I don't. It's so out of character, especially for a guy who is supposed to be off the grid and dead. It seems, you know.
Well, but aren't these the sort of things that you would do, Maybe you would lay back down ground.
Smaller things.
Kind of in the background type thing.
Although the Suntaran stuff seems a little...
Surfing the... What was it? The fiery river of something that...
Yeah, I don't know.
Fiery waterfalls of something, I think is what he said.
The bottom line is that Matt Smith could recite the phone book and make it interesting. I mean, that's obviously true. Christian Bale, he's obviously gotten a good job putting these bits together and giving him something fun because he knows I've got 55 seconds worth of. I mean, what do you do with that?
Yeah, 55 seconds of sheer.
You can't do fun. Plot.
Yeah.
So let's just come up with these impossible bits. And
although
run
once
with it, so.
It's all said and done, we'll have almost 5 minutes worth of
that
story.
True.
So
it's almost like the micro series for
we'll
Clone
see.
Wars.
Yeah.
Almost. In a smaller scale.
Yeah.
The micro series. So.
All right. Well, one last bit of news. It's a sad one. Sean wanted to talk a little bit about the passing of Neil Armstrong.
Yeah, if you've been anywhere on the news last week, what was it, Saturday?
I think that's right, yeah.
Saturday, August 26th, Neil Armstrong, at the ripe age of, what was it, 84, 86, somewhere in there, 1982. I tried to make him older than he was. Passed away, and I don't know. I just it seemed right for us to talk just a moment about it, since we have dealt so much with Mars exploration and Higgs boson particles. That I mean, this is the guy. I mean, first man on the moon.
As Keith pointed out too, he has a tie to Doctor Who.
He does have a tie to Doctor Who.
In fact, images of him stepping on the moon are in Day of the Moon and.
That's how he defeated the silence.
Yeah.
That's right.
Neil Armstrong, defeater of the silence.
That's right.
So
he saved the world. Well, and any time, as science fiction fans, we're obviously fans of science fact.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Especially space exploration. And so this passing is so... It's incredibly sad.
Yeah. Well, our thoughts, prayers, and meditations go out to his family and friends.
I'm sorry. I'm a little beclamped. I looked up to the guy. I mean, he was, you know.
Well, he was an icon to many.
He was an icon. And we were born in that, well, you weren't, but Glenn and I were born in that post, we missed all of
space race.
Well,
we were in the tail end of it.
We were born in the tail end of the space race, and you know, really weren't old enough to appreciate any of it until, you know, the shuttles really were kind of, I think, our heyday.
Yep.
But he was, you know, has a cameo in my movie.
That's true. Yeah.
Major Tom. He was the photo on the wall. So you know, if you're gonna steal from the best.
And he's the iconic astronaut.
Yeah.
Him and Buzz. I mean, those are the two that everyone.
Well, I think.
Thinks
yeah.
Of.
I think. Yeah. Well, John Glenn.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. Buzz is almost more iconic. He's got the great astronaut name, Buzz.
He's kind of.
It's like Flash Gordon. What's your name? Flash. You know.
He's kind of gone off the deep end a little bit now, though.
Who, Buzz?
Yeah.
Why?
Have you not seen his bit when he was on wrestling? He was on one of,
okay,
one
A,
of the
you're
wrestling.
Implying that I would watch wrestling.
Yeah.
I saw it on The Soup.
Shatner was on wrestling once. I don't put any stock in it.
And
Buzz Armstrong?
Aldrin.
No, Buzz Aldrin.
That's what I meant, Buzz Aldrin.
It was his post Dancing with the Stars gig.
He was on Dancing with the Stars, too?
Yeah.
All right. Moving on.
Well, now I'm not going to read this quote from Buzz Aldrin.
Was it about Neil?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, well, that's okay. After he closed it.
Let's move on to feedback.
Feedback.
We've got some feedback.
You didn't see it, but you even got jazz hands.
First up, Andrew. He says, comment, question, hello again. Just want to say how glad I am you're giving the 80s stories a fair chance. For all its fault, of the Doctor Who of the 1980s is far more interesting and diverse than much of the 1970s Doctor Who. I also want to apologize for not listening to your podcast regularly these past months, and somehow I've missed the episode after my last email, so I don't know whether you read it out or what the reaction was. I hope nothing violent.
Lastly, I don't think there was. We've gotten violent over a couple of emails, but I don't think yours was one of them.
Lastly, the greatest show in the galaxy. I quite like it. Very much a pantomime with regards to the Captain and McCoy's performance, but the robots are wonderfully grotesque, and it's a good, intriguing mystery at the heart of it. As for the other greatest show in the galaxy, Keith Sweating, congratulations are clearly in order, although I doubt they'll mean anything coming from a complete stranger who occasionally sends over long emails, but he and his writer are welcome to have them. The congratulations, I mean, not the overlong emails. Thank you very much, Andrew. We very much appreciate it.
And for those of you that may be wondering, the bride and groom are registered at the overly long email store. So still time to get your gifts in.
Regards and best wishes, Andrew. P.S. On Roger Moore not being gay. Whenever I find out...
Let's flog this horse some more, shall we? I read this, though, and I'll let you continue, but I'm so glad that Andrew has come up with a justification for why I know this.
Whenever I find out something I was certain had happened, turned out not to have happened, I just shrug my shoulders and accept I'd slipped into a parallel universe. For instance, I was sure the Ninth Doctor's stories were an hour long, which is why I had to video them so I could fast forward through the boring bits. And for years I was confused as to why no one mentioned the cut in length from the hour to 45 minutes. But then the BBC repeated Rose and I discovered in this universe it was only 45 minutes long to begin with. So sometime between the broadcast of Parting the Ways and New Earth, I fell through a crack in the universe. It makes life much simpler if you just accept this as common occurrence. And don't be too surprised that your experiences and memory don't match the current reality. That's a great explanation.
If ever anything in the history of ever needed retconning, you just fixed it.
I think that also explains Sean's travel tendencies and time tendencies. Yeah. Whenever he travels, it's not that he goes through a vortex. He slips into a parallel universe for a slight amount of time.
So would you still be waiting on me to appear at the correct time in the parallel universe?
Yes.
Darn.
String theory, it's wonderful.
Says the guy who doesn't believe in man exploration of Mars happening in our lifetime.
I modified that to NASA's paid man exploration of Mars.
Oh, but I get dogged for owning an iPod.
You own an iPod now, too?
I own an iPad. I will not own an iPod. Why would I own an iPod? iPad does everything the iPod doesn't.
You now own an oversized iPad. I don't own an iPod anymore, either.
And it doesn't have that stupid big circle on it.
Oh.
Jog
the
shuttle.
Touch doesn't. Next up!
Thank you for justifying me, Andrew.
Brittany!
Brittany writes, I'm Hulakian22140 from Twitter. Maybe we shouldn't have read that out loud.
She's on Twitter. It's okay. On Twitter.
Brittany, I just gave out your Twitter account.
I think
sorry.
Twitter's safe.
I'm still trying to catch up on the podcast.
And here's
episodes.
Her home address. 417.
Hey, she lives in Canada. No. I've skipped a few episodes because you all were... Oh, wait. I think I'm on episode 36. I have skipped a few episodes because you were all reviewing some classic Who episodes I haven't had a chance to see yet that I really want to see. Though, so I'm not really behind, I have listened to your latest episode, which makes me realize that even though I love reading and Doctor Who, I have yet to read a Doctor Who book. I need to fix this soon. I need to go to my library. I'm going to recommend that you do not read A Morality Tale.
Or The Story
of
Martha.
Or The Story of Martha. What was the other one? You've liked both of yours.
Yep.
I can recommend the Apollo one.
Yeah, start with an Eighth Doctor one. They're apparently all pretty good. here's some long-awaited news that you probably already know. BBC America has finally announced, a couple hours ago, Doctor Who will air on September 1st.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, wow. Yay.
Awesome. Yay.
Thanks for breaking that news to us, Brittany, because we've been uncertain. So you heard it here from Brittany, September 1st. Also, I hope to make it to my first Friday Night Who. Luckily, I'm only an hour ahead of you guys, and I don't have to work Saturdays. Well, that's all for now. Bye. Talk to you later. Brittany M. Granger. P.S. Even though I am one of the newbies to this podcast, I would like to say congratulations to Keith and Sarah on their marriage.
Thank you very much, Brittany.
And thank you for listening. I hope that we're still humble. Is that... I don't know. I feel like we used to be humble, and maybe we're not now. We're a little full of ourselves. So.
I think we're pretty much full of ourselves.
Of course, I think we were full of ourselves even when we were humble.
Yeah, yes, that's true.
But whenever we get new listeners who send in feedback, we tend to get a little humble.
Well, people who feel the need to mainline, it just flabbergasts me, because I'm with you guys every week, and I don't know that I'd want to hang out with you that much on audio.
So, I'm with you guys every week, and you guys will go back and re-listen to the episode we just recorded, and I never do that.
Well, I skim just to make sure we don't...
I only do it to make sure that everything's right, that everything is up there. So, well, and I don't listen to it very intently. So,
Brittany did write back in.
But if you listen carefully and you mainline the show... You might be able to find all the hidden clues that we've peppered in that will reveal the plans for the 100th anniversary. That's all I'm going to say.
I hope he remembers these plans.
That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to start.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
I don't want to start a mad crash for people to go back and listen to old episodes. That's going to bring down the server. So I just
Sean. It's like an old 70s album that you used to put on the turntable and listen to it backwards so you can see the subliminal messages that the artists were putting in. That wasn't true either.
Yeah.
All right.
If you listen closely, when you play it backwards, they're saying, Cyberman.
Brittany sent another
Brittany
email.
Second
Am
email?
I going to read Brittany's second
yes,
email? I will read Brittany's second email. Brittany's second email says, question answer. Wow, it does. It says question answer.
Not what I see. I see comment question.
Oh, because that's, I'm in the
top
part.
Top. It says question answer. Your name, email, don't give her email out. Twitter handle, we've already done that one. Comment question.
Comment question, there I am. Okay. Hello, I didn't say this in my email, but thank you very much for doing this podcast. Aw. I love your tangents and going off on random subjects.
Glad someone does.
Anywho.
Sometimes I worry.
Because Keith doesn't.
I do.
I'm glad somebody does.
Unless it's James Bond.
He's like a crotchety old man there, didn't he? I'm glad somebody
That's
does.
That's not what I intended. I meant sometimes I worry that we go on too many tangents.
Unless Sean and Glenn go off on Bond, in which I'm bored.
Then I sit there quietly.
Out of my mind.
Playing with my phone and surfing
I'm
the web.
Bored! Bored! To have not watched any Bond movies. I'm sorry.
Anywho, I'm still playing catch up on your podcast. I'm at episode 42, Life, the Universe, and Stephen Moffat. She's trucking through these. I know you asked this almost a year ago, but I wanted to say something, even though some might have already talked about this story. You asked what classic Who episodes or stories that you would have a new viewer watch. Well, I'm one of the newer viewers, and last year I've been watching some classic Who to up my knowledge of our favorite two-hearted alien. Unfortunately, none of my friends watched Doctor Who, so I had to do it all alone. I have decided, since I loved her in the second and in the fourth series of New Who, I've decided to start with The Time Warrior, which, of course, is the first story with Sarah Jane Smith. I believe it's a nice start, seeing how we meet a familiar companion at the beginning, and a familiar villain. That's my classic Who start, and I've enjoyed all that I've watched, with a few exceptions. That's all for today. P.S. Sorry if this is poorly written. I have had a long night, so my brain is not up to par. Brittany, we have long nights every night. Yeah.
And she brings up a really good point. That would be a great jumping in point for new Who fans.
Time Warrior's not too bad. That's not a good start. Or, that's not a good start. That's not a bad start.
Especially if you like Sarah Jane.
Have another beer.
Yeah.
Especially if you like Sarah Jane in the new series.
Yes.
Yeah.
See where it all began.
I hadn't thought of that one until she brought it up, and it's and now that she said it, and when you read it, when it's actually there in black and white, then it's like, oh yeah, duh. Obviously, that's a great choice for it. So, as always, thank you
and welcome. Welcome as a fairly new listener.
Yes. Next up is Holly.
Holly writes, "Hey guys, been on holiday myself and got to catch up on the podcast I missed while away. First off, Keith and Sarah, congratulations on your marriage. Wishing you all the best in the coming years."
Thank you very much, Holly, and thank you for your tweets that we got on the wedding day, actually.
Second.
Is that the one you were replying to, like, 5 minutes before Sarah walked in?
No.
Somebody was texting you. You were backstage.
I was texting with Sarah and my mother.
Been texting, both Sarah and his mom the whole night. Second, loved all the tangents that went on in the podcast. See, everybody loves the tangents.
We shouldn't
rail us in.
We should just call it Traveling the Tangent.
Why even bother talking about Doctor Who? Let's just do a tangent cast.
Yeah, there you go.
The tangent cast, like the name of the tangent cast. Hard-hitting tangents.
No. She goes on to write, "Glenn, thought your review on the Eight Doctors was right on. I had a chance to read it, and I agree with you that it is very enjoyable." Well, thank you. Third, Yahoo! Or would Geronimo be better suited for that? We finally have an air date for Series 7. Looking forward to hearing more about Keith and Sarah's wedding, and looking forward to the start of Series 7. Holly from Wisconsin.
Thank you, Holly. Oh, a release date at last.
Sean can sleep at night now.
I can't.
We're not reading that one.
If you want to, Glenn, no, we can.
Did I miss something?
Spam. Oh. The typical spam that we get on the traveling award. Although we haven't lately. So
That's not it.
No, this is not it. We must have upped our... Matt must have upped our... spam prediction. We don't get near as much.
And your iPad
stuff?
The
only pill that can guarantee... Yeah, we don't have
that. Your iPad stuff must not separate a spam folder. Because in my email, it actually goes to a spam folder.
Oh, it does. And I think that's why it's gotten smarter. But sometimes they slip through.
Oh, they always do.
Next.
Hold on. I just went to my spam folder.
Well, Chrissy, I have it. Chrissy's feedback is not going to be in your spam
folder. No, it's not.
She has marked as a trusted...
I have had some feedback go into the spam folder before, so I check it occasionally.
Hopefully you teach it not to. But
I do. But
Chrissy writes, "Dear Vortex Boys, I'm just going to get this out of the way first. Keith, you are no longer allowed to go on holiday. At least not as long as Glenn and Sean depend on you for the continued smooth run of this podcast. They were completely lost without you. I swear they took 3 minutes just to end last week's podcast."
I think they took five, really.
I'm trying to decide whether or not I should rebuttal. No.
Well,
you're absolutely right, Chris. We commented we felt lost without him here. It just didn't seem right. Like, we thought we had it planned out.
It's the first episode we'd ever done without one of the three of us.
We've always waited.
And I listened to it, and I thought you guys did a really good job. It was very an enjoyable episode.
Once
it was a little rough starting. It was rough starting and rough ending, but it was really enjoyable.
That middle segment wasn't too bad. But the beginning
first,
and end.
Last 5 minutes, a little rough, but the rest was pretty smooth.
It just took us a while to get into the flow. Also, how did you end up with so much booze left over after the wedding? Don't people drink a lot at weddings? Apparently not enough at this one.
Apparently not at this one. A keg, you guys mentioned.
I was drinking my share at your wedding.
I was drinking my share, too.
I wasn't.
I can't remember if you guys mentioned this, but our bartender had never done a keg before, apparently.
Hopefully she wasn't the one that had to tap it.
She didn't know how to tap it.
Yeah, that's what I... I mentioned that
Sarah's,
when we dropped it off. Yeah.
Sarah's brother tapped it for us, but she overpumped it, so there was a lot of foam.
I think she was pumping every time she was serving.
I think so, too. So she didn't know what she was doing, and...
Not that I would have
either, holds 160 servings of beer. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Is that all?
I didn't know that exactly, but that does not surprise me.
It doesn't sound like a lot, does it? But then when you have pitchers left over...
when you start filling a cooler...
had 100 of those 160 servings in Sean's fridge.
And a lot of people ended up, apparently, I don't know if it's because of the bartender and making it too foamy or what the deal was, but some people went and got their own beer.
Yeah.
Just kind of decided, all right, enough of this.
So that's why they wanted light beer. Wimps.
Shall we tell what happened to the beer tonight? The really sad end to all
this. Last night and tonight, we ended up dumping the rest.
Keith came home and I said, come here and taste test and find out if this stuff is still good.
And I took a drink out of every single, a sip out of every single pitcher. And I was like, nope. Nope. Nope.
Sorry, I threw up a little bit. Right now. That could not have been good.
I took a small enough drink to know, nope, that's not good.
So that after all that carrying around and finding containers, and yeah, this is okay, pour it out. On the drain it went.
When they took it back, they mentioned how foamy it was, and the people at the liquor store was like, yeah, they pumped it too much.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so where do we go? Chrissy says, though I will admit, I have never laughed so hard at two guys trying to do a Doctor Who podcast.
There was at least 30 minutes of no Doctor Who mention.
I didn't think we did that bad.
Oh, it was longer than that.
I think it might have been longer than 30 minutes.
About an hour and a half of no Doctor Who.
Until you got the news, and then...
It was better.
Really? Was it that?
It was. Yeah. It was
have
quite
you not
a
gone
while.
Back and listened to it?
I listened to the entire thing today.
Okay.
It was better than
it was enjoyable. There was just no Doctor Who.
Maybe we ought to do a Doctor Who podcast this week, guys. What do you think?
I think it's a little late now.
Hey, what episode are we on? 87? Nah.
Maybe next week.
Well, not to mention that I put it up on the website this week and labeled it 85. We've already had an 85. It should have been 86.
I'm surprised none of our eagle-eyed viewers noticed that.
Nobody
one.
Said anything to it. I'm sure after we caught that tonight, I'm surprised that, yeah.
Yeah, we apparently posted it as, well, I'm going to say we because I didn't have anything to do with it, but it went up on the feeds as 85 and there was already been an 85.
Oh, you said 86 at the beginning of the episode.
I did say 86. I was on.
I labeled the actual file 86. I just put it on the website as 85.
So. You're making me cough now. Stop it.
There were two 85s for a short time, but that problem has been fixed.
It's been rectified.
So if you want to delete yours and re-download it with the correct title...
It's padding our numbers. Isn't it?
Yeah. Actually, it's not.
Oh, because of, yeah.
Yeah.
Never mind. I don't understand how that works. It was better than those goofy morning radio shows. Regarding Sean's DVD collection, what did you do? Relocate the video store into your apartment? Have you actually watched all of those
DVDs?
He
has worked for 6 video stores. All of them in town except for one.
And one of them... closed down. He closed it down.
Yeah, he closed.
I opened it and closed.
So you took a lot then. Then you bought a lot on clearance.
I took a lot. Yeah.
Out the back door.
Why do you think I closed down?
Bought a lot on clearance then.
I bought a lot when it wasn't on clearance.
Well, that's that too.
That's the when you do that particular job for 16 years, you tend to take the inventory home with you. And I bought a lot
of
stuff.
Just working at CD Trade Post, I bought so many DVDs.
Oh, yeah.
That, yeah.
It's so easy to do because you just, you know.
Oh, and with the discounts.
And I get a discount on top of it? All right.
Can I tell you why Sean has worked at so many video stores?
It's the only job I'm qualified.
No, well, that and every time they hire him, they go, hey, we can pay this guy in DVDs. This guy's going to spend as much money in our store as we're going to pay him out. So it's not a loss for us.
That's why I'll never let Sarah work at a yarn shop.
There you go.
Yeah, that's true. I can't deny
that's why Keith's not allowed to work at a brewery.
Or a coffee shop.
Or a coffee shop, yes.
Keith working at a brewery would be like that episode of Cheers where Norm gets the job. He's just like, are you okay? You look like you're crying. I just need a moment. What's your job? Quality control. No, I haven't watched all of them. In fact, if you look at the video, you'll notice there's a large number of them that are kind of pulled out from the shelf just a little bit. And those are ones that, for whatever reason, I purchased or acquired. The other thing is there are several stores here in town that do these, oh, if you answer this trivia question, you get a free $3.99 movie. Well, you bring it on. So there's a lot of them that I bring home, and it's like, hey, I got a free movie, and I throw it on the shelf, but I haven't watched it yet. So no, I mean, I've seen over half, but...
You haven't watched Muppet Christmas Carol and Muppet Treasure Island?
Well, those are pulled out because those are ones that, yes, I've seen them, but they were on when I was working in the video store, so I probably haven't sat down and watched them.
So you're doing like me where I just forgot. Like,
yeah, I've never all in one sitting. Right, you know. Bits and pieces here and there. So, if so, I'm impressed. I'm afraid I can't impress you, Chrissy. I haven't seen all of them. At the risk of
a good chunk of them aren't pressed in.
I've seen a good chunk.
Yeah, there is a lot of them.
It's kind of sad, actually. wasted life.
A lot of them.
At the risk of sending Sean on another tangent of questionable veracity, I have to... Good word usage. Librarian. I have to ask, is there actually a Jaws universe?
There is a sequel.
Yes.
There are several sequels.
There are several sequels.
There's only one will count, but
there's only one I own.
Jaws 2, right?
Jaws 2, yeah. Well, when the helicopter... And
it's Bruce Ryder.
It's not Jaws.
It's not that great, but it's a good sequel.
It's a fine little movie. Yeah.
Jaws 3D?
Jaws Revenge.
The Revenge?
Jaws the video game?
Now, that was awesome.
I never played it.
You never played?
I didn't know there was a Jaws in the video game.
You play as Jaws.
Oh, here we go.
Jaws Unleashed.
Jaws Tangent. Here we go.
It's called Jaws Unleashed. You play as the shark. The goal is to cause as much havoc within the small town as possible. And at one point, you get captured. They kind of work their way through all the movies. You get captured, and you get put into this big aquarium-type place. You ready for this? So they're showing the thing and, you know, the security gate that'll open up to get into the outside environment and all this kind of stuff, and it's key card controlled. And there's a scientist who's walking around, and he's got the key card on his belt. You have to leap out of the water, bite the guy off the railing, swim over to the other thing, and then jump up and wave him in front of the key card to open the door. It was the greatest video game ever. Because
that was last generation, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that was even Xbox.
PS2
it's,
and
it's
Xbox.
Old school game.
Wow.
But, yeah. I remember reading about it and thinking, wow.
I hope that's backwards compatible on the 360 because I would love.
I don't know if it is. We should look into that. It was I mean, you get to play as the shark. There were achievements for eating bathers in the surf. You know, how many of them you could take out. But you had to be careful because if they would see you coming and they would run up the beach. And if you went too far in, you'd beat yourself. And then they'd come out with the spears and the sticks and the guns. And that was bad ending for Jaws. So, yeah, it was a fun game, man. I liked it.
Wow.
How come I'm not surprised you played it?
Oh, are you kidding? Jaws video game play as the shark. That's like Jurassic Park play as the dinosaur. That's, yes. Who's rooting for the humans? Bring on the monster. Yes, there's a Jaws universe, Chrissy.
One line. It took one line, Chris.
At least it wasn't a 20-minute tangent.
He started it. He brought up the video game.
That's true. You did bring up the video.
Well, we were going through the list.
Review. Just the one this time. I wasn't at Keith and Sarah's wedding, so I can't comment on that. Oh, you should have been there.
You would have been welcome, Chris.
You were all there in spirit.
You were all there in spirit.
And you can live vicariously through the pictures that both of you have uploaded albums, so thank you.
We have so far.
And Glenn uploaded the toast.
Aw.
You didn't see that?
I don't know if I saw it or not.
It's on the YouTube channel.
It is on our YouTube channel. Vortex YouTube channel.
We have a YouTube channel. The greatest show in the galaxy. I think they probably could have called this The Show in the Galaxy. I I don't think it deserves to be called greatest. I was pretty bored with it probably until the last 10 minutes or so. If it wasn't for Friday Night Who and everyone tweeting along, I might have turned it off and done something else. I think I get what they were going for with Crazy Circus, and I can appreciate the story's commentary on the BBC viewing public constantly being unsatisfied with Doctor Who in the 80s, but it falls down quite a bit. I don't think there was enough material to justify four episodes. Maybe if it had been a three-parter, which wasn't unheard of in the McCoy era, it would have been better. Eagerly awaiting the wedding recap and your greatest show review, less so, Chrissy. P.S. September 1st! Hooray! Oh, as always, thank you, Chrissy.
Yes.
Well, gentlemen, what do we want to do first? Which of these greatest shows?
Well, we've got two greatest shows.
We've got two greatest shows.
Well, so according to Chrissy, one greatest show and one show.
One not so great show. Well, what do we want to cover first? You want to cover the greatest show in the galaxy, or do you want to talk Doctor Who? Glenn's brain just melted.
We're doing Doctor Who first.
We're going to do Doctor Who first.
Best for last.
All right. Fair enough.
Best for last.
The greatest show in the galaxy. Although Ace hates clowns, the Doctor decides to take his companion to the psychic circus on the planet Siganax. There they find a group of scared performers who live in fear of the sinister and creepy chief clown. But what is so dangerous about this particular circus? Why is there such a small audience? And will Ace be able to overcome her fear before it's too late?
It's not that bad.
I don't think it was that bad.
I don't
either.
Think it was that bad either, quite honestly. That's why I didn't give it the Price is Right trombone. All right, Keith, go ahead and start us off since this is new to you.
This is very new to me, and I didn't get to join in Friday Night Who, so I didn't even have the enjoyment of that. But there was. I was actually. I wouldn't say riveted. But intrigued the entire thing. Of course, Sean. I didn't go to shows on Sunday like normal because we're so far behind. And Sean is on his way home and we're not recording. And I sat down to watch the first five minutes in and get a phone call from Sean. Hey, I'm walking back home. Mind if I come by and just say hey? Okay, so, and then he
I'm bored!
We're not recording tonight. I don't know what to do with myself. He gives me a heads up about the BBC stuff. About how it's high concept and commentary on the BBC and the treatment.
So you got that before?
I got that before. And so that made me enjoy it a little bit more.
All right.
That's what I was hoping for.
Okay.
That's why I warned him.
All right.
And so,
I'll give you that then.
I'm not entirely clear of what characters was which, other than the fandom.
Well,
that was pretty obvious. The rabid fandom.
Let's make it a little more clear here than we're saying. Is a lot of people believe, I don't think this is ever official from anywhere, but a lot of people believe that this was really kind of a statement on what was happening with Doctor Who at the time. That the viewers wanted more from Doctor Who, wanted to be entertained. They wanted to be, it's something to be different, to entertain them and actually be something more than it was. And there were the rabid fanboys out there. And so what the parallels are is the Whiz Kid, as they call him
yes.
there, is the representation of the fanboys.
That was
in the 1980s that were watching Doctor
considering
Who.
Considering what Sean told me, that was painfully obvious.
It was. In fact, Chrissy picked that up right away, too, while we were watching Friday Night Who.
Because he wasn't only the biggest fan of The Greatest Show in the Galaxy. He was the biggest fan of The Captain.
The Psychic Circus and
the psychic,
everything.
Yeah, The Psychic
and,
Circle and The Captain.
And The Captain, yeah, absolutely. And then the three, the gods of
Ragnarok.
Yeah, Ragnarok.
Which, what
were
is that from?
Supposed to represent the audience, the viewer, the typical viewer of Doctor Who. Wanting more, wanting to be entertained, wanting to...
Okay.
And then I have also heard that...
Which the captain almost seemed to be a BBC figure.
Commander McBragg. What was his name? Was
Colonel Mustard.
He was Captain Cook, wasn't he?
Yeah, Captain Cook
was supposed to be the controller of time, the BBC at the time, which I can't remember the man's name, but he was kind of the one that all but said he wanted the show to fail or to go away, but was always putting forward a face as though he were sort of supporting it, and you know, he was just, he was kind of the shyster, and that's what that, so that was the idea. So that that's out there. So continue, Keith.
I forgot my train of thought.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I felt we were losing the listener if they didn't realize that.
Yeah. So that added to my enjoyment, trying to figure out kind of who, what character was which.
I didn't go into as in-depth as you did.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's great knowing now. Going into it, I wouldn't have wanted to know that.
Okay.
I wanted to know some of the characters were metaphors for...
You at least had a heads up to look out for metaphors.
Yes. And I like those metaphors in it. And the Chief Plow, creepy.
He was creepy. Yeah.
I didn't...
Especially the... Well, no one is going to be able to see me do this, but the...
Oh, yes.
With the hand up by
yes.
the face.
Oh, and...
Yeah.
Jazz hands.
The jazz
no,
hands.
No, it wasn't even jazz hands. It was just this flare he did with the one hand up by his face.
The clown robots didn't bother me. And I've gone on record how I find clowns creepy.
Yep.
And the clown robots didn't bother me.
Well, when they're
did you go into this with a sense of trepidation? Just
a little bit. Knowing there was a clown.
Clowns.
Little bits, and automatically expecting that the clown was going to be the bad guy, which was kind of a nice surprise. I mean, yeah, he was on the bad guy's side, but he wasn't the true bad guy.
Yeah.
I kind of expected that.
Sort of the what they present to you at first, though, is what you think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was telling Sarah about it because she didn't watch it with me. And I was like, yeah, there was a clown in it. And she was like, ugh. I was like, it's not even a normal clown like Pennywise. It's the clown from that opera. That sad clown from that one opera.
She's like,
oh, yeah, that guy.
That guy.
The guy from... of course, my mind instantly went to the Seinfeld episode.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah. He was like a murderer or something.
Yeah. The guy playing the crown, they thought he was a serial killer.
The Cirque du Soleil clown.
So that was creepy. But I thought the robotic stuff was really interesting. I thought a lot of the circus stuff was fascinating about how they had come here, and especially Kingpin, I believe was his, ended up being his real name, mm-hmm. brought them here for this, what he thought was noble purpose, and then it spiraled downward, and then everyone just kind of bought into it, and how and there was a lot of good tie-in, too, like the beginning of Bellboy and Flower Child, which I find strange that all these characters don't have actual names. when they first said...
We didn't give them actual names either.
when they said Bellboy's name the first time, I was like, really? They didn't even bother to name him? I thought he wasn't going to be around for long.
We were calling him Sergeant Pepper.
But they're being chased and the kites and how much that ended up tying into the end and with the Ragnarok, I thought was... pretty well done. I mean,
the
gods of Ragnarok. I thought, really, this is a fairly tight story.
Conceptually, this is a fantastic idea.
Yes.
Conceptually, it's
some of the execution
it's a good
falls
story.
Down.
That's the problem. Is it's peppered with all of these 80s cliches and pop, which it's funny.
Which I'm sorry, the worst is the ringmaster.
Well, that's just it. It's funny how you can pepper a show that was made in the 1980s with all of the typical 80s cliches. That's what's so bizarre about this is if you make a show now and you intentionally try to make it look very 80s,
you'd have
it becomes over. It becomes
you'd have the greatest show in the galaxy.
Well, it becomes over the top. You ever watch Hot Tub Time Machine? You watch The Wedding Singer.
Yeah, Wedding Singer.
They're good movies in the sense that they are 80s cliches, and you kind of remember your youth, and at least Sean and I recall back to our high school days and things like that.
But Keith remembers watching Sesame
Street. But if you go back and watch...
No, I really don't.
If you go back and watch shows from the 80s that were made in the 80s, they don't scream 80s like those ones that you intentionally make look like the 80s.
Well, it's like that 70s show.
Right,
very
exactly.
much looks like the 70s. At least
exactly.
it looks like what we think we remember.
Right,
the
70s exactly.
It's
exactly.
the same thing with the 50s and Leave It to Beaver and all that stuff.
Or Happy Days.
Yeah.
However, when a show that is actually made in the 80s is blatantly, obviously 80s and British, nonetheless, it's just it's the Well, it's right. The execution is what makes this.
To be fair, it is late 80s, and the late 80s is the worst of the 80s.
I don't know. I was in high school in the late 80s. I like
I'm sorry.
Anyway.
I've seen the styles of the late 80s.
The late I wore 80s. Some of the styles of the 80s.
I'm very 80s. Sorry for that.
I still do.
Yeah, Sean sadly does. Anyway, Sean is stuck in the 80s. No. So anyway, execution again, yes, as you said, is where this falls down.
But The story and the concepts were high enough for me that I was able to look past the execution.
I love the idea that you've got these gods or these beings that are essentially, they fall into their own trap of this addiction to being entertained, to being, you know,
which
essentially even, worshipped in such a way that they aren't being worshipped out and out. They're being worshipped in a way that somebody is serving them as entertainment, as court jesters. And they're bringing in these unreluctant victims who think that they're coming to this psychic service circus to be entertained themselves, and then suddenly fall victim to being a captive that has to entertain for their life. I love that concept.
Oh, yeah.
I love the idea that the gods of Rassarok are in two parallel locations at once. I like that concept. Two time zones, if you want to say, or two parallel times. I love that concept. I love the fact that the Doctor, when he's able to transgress into that, where they're actually at, their physical forms are, and he's performing there. I actually love the performance that the Doctor's putting on.
Oh, I don't think anybody but Seventh Doctor could do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
No one can pull that off.
I love all of that concept and idea. It's just, it's the execution. It's when you, as you pointed out, you have like Bellboy and Flower Child. When you start doing that and putting the odd, obscure names on there, when you have the rapping ringmaster, when you have the strange lady that's warning everybody off and saying that the psychic circus are just a bunch of hoodlums. I mean, I like the fact that this psychic circus is essentially trapped here. Because they made a deal with the gods in order to be successful, and it's kind of backfired them. They've become servants and slaves themselves. Yeah. I love that idea. The concepts here are fantastic. It's, again, the execution is poor. And not to the detriment of Sylvester McCoy, who, I'm not a big Seventh Doctor fan. Totally enjoyed him in this. Absolutely loved him in this. Absolutely loved Little Ace in this. I thought they both turned in stellar performances.
Despite his one-liners?
Despite the one-liners, I'll tell you.
I heard about
it. That was what every time one of the that's another part of the execution is the despite the one-liners that are given to him, they are given to him. It's in the vein of the Seventh Doctor, but they're almost too much. They're over the top. They're a little
equivalent of the line.
I heard this going into it and didn't think they were that bad.
It's the equivalent of the line in Last Boy Scout when Damon Wayans says, so like if I hit a guy with a surfboard, I got to say surf's up.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like, something like that. It's that level of action movie 80s era bad quip.
I mean, they're all over the James Bond of the 1980s. However, they're not, I mean, in this, they're done in such, I don't know. I didn't like that. But in spite of those, the Doctor does a fantastic job.
I want to go back to the ideas and the concepts.
We all died laughing, and Glenn's like,
"No,
you were. You had your arms crossed on the couch."
I did not. I went
with a sour face.
I rolled my eyes clear back in the back of my head. And went, "Ah." I didn't cross my arms. I wasn't being Grumpy Bear.
You was Grumpy Bear.
No, I wasn't being Grumpy Bear.
And then the second line
I was
along,
recognizing
like,
how bad the lines in this show were.
Well, John Boy and Chris,
you guys were
and
all
I
eating
were
it up. Ooh, I love that.
I want to go back to the high, the Ragnarok and the idea behind them. Regardless of the parallels to Doctor Who at the time, what a statement on society in general.
How so?
That there's, maybe I'm seeing this from now perspective instead of the 80s perspective, but the demand of being entertained constantly.
Oh, yeah.
It's reality TV speaking, almost.
It's more than Doctor Who. It's society.
It's television in general.
Yeah.
It's
television. It's movies. It's theater. It's
a precursor
anything.
Of the Bad Wolf episode.
Thirst for entertainment.
It really is.
Society's thirst of entertainment.
Yeah,
for entertainment
it's yeah. As Sean said, the precursor for Bad Wolf. I mean, it's It's I didn't exactly realize until you were talking about it, and that makes me enjoy this even more. I mean, there's the hints of it with the family before you realize who the family is.
Not to dog on the Seventh Doctor again, Sean. But this is a good example of a story. Had it been done in Tom Baker's era, would have come off a lot better.
You think?
It would have been a very intelligent story. It would have been handled in more of a low-key way. Now,
I don't think that's a reflection of McCoy.
No, it is not. But Tom Baker probably would have been just as over the top with it as he was with anything else.
He might have pulled off some of that.
But I think the story and the other characters would have been tempered enough that it would have been appropriate for the Fourth Doctor. And I think that this story would have worked a lot better earlier on in Doctor Who's run. Even the Third Doctor, I think, would have been a good Third Doctor story.
I don't see the Third Doctor pulling off the magic as much as could.
Absolutely not. Sean, you've been kind of quiet here, so what are your thoughts on Greatest Show? Show in the Galaxy.
Greatest Show in the Galaxy.
What about Show in the Galaxy?
Just Show in the Galaxy. Why have the squeaky chair again, by the way?
Because I moved it over there because you normally sat here. And then you changed on me again. It opens
as you shift and squeak.
3 weeks ago.
It opens in such a way that
it's... I just noticed it tonight.
It feels very odd because it's... First of all, we get the Doctor juggling, which is great. He's juggling in the TARDIS. And then Ace pops out wearing the scarf. We're on the right track for whatever's going
Sean's
to happen.
Sean's on cloud nine at
I'm
this point.
I'm on cloud nine at this point.
Which, and I fixed for him.
He did. He brought up a very interesting
because
point.
I had seen that bit by the time we started talking. And I said, I asked him how that scarf could be there, because from what I've heard, Peter Davison disassembles the scarf. And Sean says...
Because Peter Davison was wearing the maroon scarf. And this
was
classic.
That's absolutely
and I hadn't
right.
thought about that. When he first asked me, I was like, oh, wait, no, it's okay.
It's not retconning, so it's actual conning.
It's actual conning.
Yeah. It was the maroon scarf that he...
So we're on track for something glorious and cool. And then a spam bot shows up and says, you should come to the circus. And Ace is immediately like, which, I'm sorry, I'm with Ace. I'm on the right track here.
Don't go
to the circus. And McCoy is very much, let's go to the circus. Come on. I hate clowns. Oh, good. Come on, let's go to the... And it's almost like...
I hate clowns. Good, let's go. Even more reason to go.
He spends the first episode almost pressuring
like
her.
Like a child.
Yeah,
come
he
on,
does.
Mom. Come on, Mom. Come on, Mom.
And he's, you know, I don't want to go on the
he
ride.
He almost doesn't care about her feelings
about
the whole issue.
You're going to go see the scary clown and like it. he's almost petulant. So then we get down to the planet. We meet the weird lady by the side of the road. And this... cast of characters that will not end begins. We get Batman. We get Harry Potter.
Which one was Batman?
The guy with the rose
with the really big bat ears. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Batman!
I forgot because he was only in it for like an episode.
Colonel Mustard shows up.
Two. He was the one in the cage with them.
He was the first one to bite it.
No.
Yes. Well, he was the first one that we saw.
Yeah. The first one we saw him
because
bite it.
Somebody was biting it when the captain and the werewolf came in.
That's true. And then there's Tonks.
Sorry to interrupt. Tooth and Claw, did they reference wherever? Did they ever say where she was from in this episode?
No.
Okay. I remember they said where he picked her up, but not where she was from.
Right.
Okay. I was wondering if they. That's how they.
No.
Okay.
Sadly, no.
That would have been kind of cool.
Would have been a nice nod, but no.
So this endless parade of...
But the Seventh Doctor does wear a fez in Delta and the Betterman.
I knew that.
Sorry.
And a mop.
And a mop, yes.
Yes.
He doesn't wear them.
No, not Delta and the Bannerman.
Yeah, wasn't it? Oh, no, it was Silver Nemesis.
Silver Nemesis.
Sorry, yeah.
Which
Silver
was Nemesis. Directly before this.
Yes.
Yes.
Because it was Ace.
So we get this never-ending parade of strange characters, and you just kind of can't help but wonder where they're going with this. Now, very cool visuals.
Really, no way.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. We're going over here to behind the hill to die. I agree with you. I think it's a good concept. I think it I think it gains a lot by having this maybe true backstory of this is the BBC and this is fandom and this is this, and that guy's Ian Levine. You know, whatever they were going to set up.
Honestly, I didn't think of him when I saw that.
I didn't. Whiz Kid is Ian Levine. Okay.
Whatever they were going to set up, I think that actually adds to it. It kind of adds to the mystique. But at the same time, that's kind of like hearing the story of what's actually in the briefcase in Pulp Fiction.
Right.
It adds to it, but it doesn't really matter when you're watching it because they don't talk about it. So we're left with The Greatest Show in the Galaxy, which, I mean, it earns points for me for a lot of things that they did. First of all, Sylvester McCoy, once again, rising above the material that he's given. Everything he did in this was great. Even though he dragged Ace to go see the Scary Clown, he just exudes this presence of, he's a fun doctor. He's one of those doctors you wouldn't mind traveling around with, because even if it is going to get scary in bits and a little dodgy, you're going to have a good time with it, and you know he's going to take care of you in the end.
Can I step in for a minute and come to the defense of the Seventh Doctor? We're talking about him being giddy and this child and being the child going, come on, come on, come on, we can go, we can go. I am the father of a four-year-old who quite often doesn't realize he wants to do something because he doesn't know that he wants to do something. Because there'll be a lot of times where the child will tell you, no, I don't want to go there because of this. It's because of fear of the unknown.
Right.
Yes, Ace may be afraid of clowns, but who knows? It could have been childhood. It could have been something like that. Clowns may not be as bad. A lot of times you have to take Mason, my son, and force him to go to a situation. And 9 times out of 10, he will come out of it and go, wow, I really enjoyed that. Yeah, it was fun. He had so much fun. So in Seven's defense, I think this is a situation where Ace has this skepticism about clowns. There wasn't necessarily something tragic that
happened. Yeah, it's certainly an irrational fear
exactly.
of clowns.
And so what he's wanting to do is get her over this irrational fear. So coming to the defense of Seven, it's one of those where you take the child and you say, here, you do it, you shove them into it, and then they enjoy it. They have fun. Now, that didn't end up working that way, but it wasn't. I mean, there is that 1 in 10 chances that it's going to fail on you or backfire on you.
It's just
like my son does not like the Viking Voyage now. I forced him on that. He still doesn't like it. So
really,
yeah, which is sad because Caitlin.
What's wrong with your kid,
might,
man?
He might grow into it.
I'm not worried. He'll forget by next year. Anyway.
What an interesting way to run through corridors.
I loved that. That I
was
kind of
cool.
Was so cool.
And then Ace being as resourceful as she is using that earring to cut a hole and sneak away. That
you
was
just
want great.
To a little backstory on this. This almost fell to the fate of Shada. They went and did all of their location shooting, and they had everything in the can. They had everything shot. They came back to the BBC and found out that the BBC had asbestos in the studios and was having to have all of the asbestos removed. And so it came to the fact. It came to the point where they said, we're not going to be able to finish this. But what they decided to do is the production crew said, well, this is a circus. What if we set up all of our studio stuff in a tent outside in the parking garage? And that's what they ended up doing.
That makes sense,
setting
too.
It up inside, and all of that stuff was done in tents in a parking garage.
That's very cool.
So and it works.
Makes it a bit more authentic.
Well, yeah. I mean, it totally. This one didn't look like. I mean, it still had rock quarry, sand quarry.
It's not even rock quarry. It's more sand.
That was the plan. It was a sand quarry.
Yeah. But the rest of it didn't look like soundstage. It looked like circus tent. And I thought that was really, especially that one hallway, even though we run through it over and over and over. It looked like an episode of West Wing. There was a group of clowns running down this hallway looking for somebody.
But wait.
I loved
here's
it.
What
I
they did
that
right,
was really
though.
Cool.
That hallway was lit differently every
it
time.
Was.
Yes,
and
it
I love that. It was different colors, different gels. That goes a long way to make something very,
and those
very,
walls
very,
really lend to that, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
and
the way that they billowed in the, I mean, it just really.
It gives something that can become very stagnant, be interesting each time.
It didn't have the same feel as a spaceship corridor, which so frequently happens. So I liked that aspect of it. Interestingly, the last segment, part 4, received the highest ratings of any episode during Sylvester McCoy's time frame.
Yeah.
Interesting.
6.6 million viewers tuned in to watch the end of...
And to me, that's the best episode. The best episode is the last one of this story.
I would agree.
I agree with Chrissy. I think there's probably a lot that they could have trimmed down to a three-parter that would have made the...
There were a couple characters
right out
that
of the middle.
Yeah. It's not that it's bad. It's just that it kind of ambles a bit in the middle. And I think if you trimmed it up and kind of tightened it down to a little more manageable of a length, that it would have fared better. I think the impact of the circus would have been more dynamic if it had not been kind of allowed to dawdle so much.
Mm-hmm.
Mags is a very interesting character, and I felt like she kind of got almost short shrifted in a way because she's got a great intro and a little bit of mystery and intrigue to her. And this grand setup for the da-da-da, I'm a werewolf. And then nothing really happens.
To not go anywhere with it or explain where it originally comes from.
Yeah.
We've got this character dropped in there with this fantastic concept or idea that we're not going to, A, give you a backstory on, or B, take to fruition. Yeah, I would agree. In fact, it's almost something that could have been cut. Other than the fact that it is kind of the captain's get-out-of-jail-free card.
Right.
He does have the one gimmick with him that he hasn't revealed. He hasn't shown his hand yet. And so when he finally ends up being in the ring in order to perform for his life, he has that one card that works for him.
It also lends to the pretty dynamic cliffhanger.
It does, absolutely.
Which
absolutely.
Was the best cliffhanger of all of them.
The first one was horrible.
Well, are we going in
or not? Are we going in or not?
Dun-dun-dun.
What? That's not a cliffhanger.
I'm trying to remember what two was.
Well, what they were playing into that first cliffhanger is the captain and Mags walking in and her screaming and us not knowing what she's reacting
to. Yeah.
But still.
It would have been better if it ended with the scream.
Right. That would have been, if she'd walked in and that was the... What did she see? Mm-hmm. That's a cliffhanger.
I would agree.
Cutting back
agree.
To Ace going, are we going in or not? And then credits. I was like, what?
What?
Interesting enough, the lady that played Mags briefly returned in Voyage of the Damned.
Really?
As the voice of the Queen.
Voice of the Queen.
Huh.
Thank you, Wiki.
I knew that before Wiki.
Did you know that before Wiki?
But I also saw it on an internet site sometime years ago.
You're such a geek.
I saw it. I think after Voyage of the Damned come out.
Now, this honestly was my first experience with this story. I had heard of Greatest Show in the Galaxy, but I'd never actually sat down and watched it.
Well, this is the first time we've had it in
me because I thought you'd seen a lot more Seventh Doctor than you had.
I think I may have seen a piece or two of it and realized it was a clown episode and turned it off.
Well, that makes sense.
I honestly think that. So it's not as bad as I think. Again, I don't think fandom at large has been very fair to it. I think it's a lot better than what a lot of people give it credit for. I definitely think it helps for a new person to kind of go into it with that little bit of backstory to kind of give them that extra oomph to get past the where are you going with this. And I think for the seasoned viewers, it helps to watch with friends. This is not one that I'll pop in on a random Thursday afternoon because I'm bored and I'd like to watch some Doctor Who. But on a Friday night kind of experience with a group of Twitterers, this is right up the alley. This is what Friday Night Who was made for, with stuff like that.
Yeah.
And back when Friday Night Who UK was going on, they did this.
Oh, did they?
Because it was available in the UK, but not in the US yet.
There you go.
And because it was this one and a Pertwee story that they were doing, because I had like a couple Fridays off way back then, and it wasn't until Revenge of the Cybermen that I was able to join in for.
Cool. Well, I hope that anybody that went out and purchased The Greatest Show in the Galaxy, because we were doing it for Friday Night Who, doesn't feel cheated. I don't. It's a Seventh Doctor story. And the clubs.
So shall we talk about the actual Greatest Show in the Galaxy?
Oh, the wedding.
The wedding of River Song?
Yes.
I've
been trying to figure out where to begin with this, and I think it has to start Friday.
Oh, good. I was about to say Friday night. It has to be Friday.
It has to start Friday afternoon.
Oh, well, yeah, Friday afternoon. Well, I didn't learn about it until Friday night.
Yeah.
So.
Well, even before then, I met with my sister for lunch. My, for those that don't know or don't remember, my sister lives in Maryland, so she came in for the wedding. Unfortunately, her husband was not able to.
You say fortunately or unfortunately?
Unfortunately.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear the
I like Ricardo.
I thought you liked
Ricardo. I like Ricardo.
I thought you did.
But my sister came in Wednesday. She came in and... Sean does not agree.
Sean apparently does not like your sister. Or Ricardo.
I didn't mean to do that.
She came in Wednesday and came over and gave him my birthday present, slightly late, which was... You guys haven't seen this. It's a candy dispenser. Motion activated.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it's huge.
Wait, what do you motion it with?
Well, you put your hand under it, and then it just dispenses.
Yeah, come on, be honest. What have you been motioning it with?
With my hand.
Lightsaber, sonic screwdriver, what?
Oh, I had to do the Sonic.
You haven't done the Sonic yet?
I haven't done the Sonic. Well, I went to show Sarah, and she's like, she holds her hand the wrong way, like upside down, and like this. I'm like, no. Cup your hand underneath so you can catch the candy. But so she comes over, and then I didn't get to see her Thursday, and we go to lunch on Friday, and I get a phone call from Sarah's mother. Pipes broke in the wedding sites. Keep Sarah away. Part of the building's flooded.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about this.
Yeah. And so I'm like... Oh, okay, I'll do what I can, and then went off to get my hair cut, and went over there, and she had lunch at her mom's, and her aunt was in town, and then my mother went into the hospital on Friday. Apparently on Wednesday, she was going to go up and with my cousin to pick up my sister from the airport, and was in a lot of stomach pain, so she didn't go up, and then she stayed home from work on Thursday. And just finally decided on Friday that, okay, maybe I should go to the ER because she's in so much pain.
Enough's enough. It's time to get checked out.
Yeah. And so we go up and visit her in the ER after that. So I was able to keep Sarah away for the entire time until the rehearsal so the water could be cleaned up, which was good. Sarah says she wouldn't have freaked out and was going to be like, oh, well, there's nothing we can do about it. But I think she would have freaked out a little bit. So we go up there, and I'm trying to remember what it's called now, because it's such a weird name of what my mother had.
Diverticulitis.
Yeah, diverticulitis. Yeah. For those that don't know what that is, it's basically... I'm trying to think of the best way to explain it now.
Isn't it like pockets of...
There's...
Her intestines like to hold on to things that they shouldn't.
Her colon.
Her colon.
Yeah, hold on to things that shouldn't.
Like seeds.
And it burst, and an abscess built up to...
That's what I was looking for, pockets of abscesses.
Yeah, an abscess built up to protect her stomach from the verticillitis that burst. So she... ended up getting admitted, and luckily we were there. We went up and visited her in the ER in the afternoon, and then we were there when she got admitted into the actual hospital, so we got to go up to her room and get her settled before we had to go and get dressed and everything for the rehearsal. So while we were there, she had mentioned to the doctor about the wedding and how she would like to be there. And the doctor kind of hinted that, yeah, we might be able to lose you for a couple of hours and let you go. And then even we were at the rehearsal and my sister my mother's cell phone died during this while she was in the ER. So we couldn't contact her. We tried to contact her several times before because we didn't even know what ER she was in. There are two different hospitals in Topeka. And we just drove by one thinking, okay, well, let's see if this one's it. Oh, look, there's her car. Good.
Flip a coin.
Yeah, pretty much. And went in and was like, okay, we're looking for this person. And went in and found her. And so my sister went and took care of my mom's dog and took her charger up and visited my mom before coming to the she ended up skipping the rehearsal, which wasn't a big deal. She wanted to be there, but it wasn't necessary. And met up for the dinner. And when she got to the dinner, she said that the doctor said for sure that my mom was going to be able to be let go from the hospital for a couple of hours and had to come back so she could be at the wedding. Now, so all was great.
The story that we get as groomsmen and best man here is at the dinner, mom's in the hospital. What? And
I mentioned that during rehearsal.
At the rehearsal.
Yeah.
Okay. So mom's in the
hospital. Which the rehearsal went fine.
Yeah, everything went fine, other than the fact that your mom wasn't there.
Sean has Swiss cheese memory.
Big holes. So being best man and groomsman, we immediately start formulating what is our contingency plan for this? How do we deal with this? Maybe we can Skype and set up our computers so that she can watch it.
Well, Blake's idea was to rappel down the side of the building. Go in through a window.
Blake being Batman that he is.
Connect her up to this really fancy pulley system.
Which he
does not
have. Lower
her down outside. And then put her in a van, the back seat of the van, on the gurney, and then take her to the wedding.
Blake's plan would
Sean and I were a little more realistic.
Yeah, well, you know what? As it turned out, Blake's plan would have stood a better chance of success. So we come up with this big contingency plan for what to do about mom not being there. And then sister arrives with, it's okay, they're going to lose her for a couple hours so she can come to the wedding. And, okay, so contingency plan goes away.
We take it at face value and say, okay, that's great.
We're all quite relieved, too.
Yeah, yeah. We really are, because there's no Wi-Fi at the actual site. There's where we were was called the Governor's Row House. Next door, across the parking lot, is the Ronald McDonald House.
Which has free Wi-Fi.
Which has Wi-Fi, so we could get one bar, maybe two.
Actually, when I brought my Mac, five.
Did you get five?
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. I knew when we got the Mac
over
there.
Well, on our phones.
But our phones were only getting one and two bars.
Yeah, so we weren't sure there was really good connection. And I knew there was Wi-Fi up in Mom's room, because I was up there earlier and was
looking around. But it wasn't
going
to matter, because they were going to let her go.
So we completely ignored it. And
then
we went to go play disc golf Saturday morning while Sarah was getting her hair done and everything.
You guys played disc golf without me?
No, you were there.
Was I? Oh.
You tweeted pictures later this week about it.
Did I?
That picture you tweeted of me teeing off, that was Saturday.
Was that Saturday?
That was Saturday.
Oh,
okay. I was like, wow, really? He did that today?
I'm kidding. I'm doing it.
So we went and played disc golf, and
often go without me, so I thought I'd play.
I've been criticized for that decision.
People would believe
me. I don't go very often.
I've been criticized for that decision, and I fell back on what Glenn said, is that it's not unusual for the grooms to go play, like, real golf.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I have been in at least three different weddings where we played golf, actual golf, in the morning.
Ricardo was in a wedding where he went and played golf with the groom, and the groom was completely wasted by the time he got to the wedding.
I went to one of those too. Maybe it was the same one. No.
Considering the groups they ran in, it might be.
Maybe.
Because Ricardo went to school with Wade.
Oh, that's right. We do have a lot of.
Yeah,
that's right.
So there was a lot of in common. He's.
Maybe it was the same.
Not to rub it in, but he's your guys' age.
Yeah.
Well, actually, a little younger.
He's
a little younger.
2 years younger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we've been criticized for that. But Keith said, I'd like to play some disc golf.
Sarah,
and Sarah adamantly said, I don't want you here.
And Sarah said, you should go do something that would take your mind off of any stress or anything.
That's what you do.
And she asked afterwards.
You're supposed to take their mind off of running, is what you're supposed
to do. Not that I was ever thinking of running. But it was just the stress of everything coming on. Yeah. Which... one of the best disc golf games I've ever played.
You did.
You were
really good.
And then we're walking back to the car, deciding, okay, we need to go pick up the keg and take it to the location, and then we're going to go change and be at the site at 3:30. 2:00, I get a phone call from my mom, obviously very upset, saying they're not going to let her go. And because of legal reasons, and people will get in a lot of trouble if she can't make it. And so we instantly go into
panic mode.
Panic mode.
There's no other way to say it, because now all of a sudden that contingency plan that we threw away
is back on.
We're like, oh crap, what do we do?
We're going to try to Skype her in. Because
we couldn't get a hold of Blake to get a van.
Not to mention all that repelling equipment.
We didn't even call Blake on any of it. He was the first one at the governor's row house.
Yes, he was.
Because he didn't know. At least
I was second.
You were second.
Yes, I was last. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way.
We're getting there. And I'm gonna admit this now. This was a roller coaster of a day. It was so rough.
Really?
Not knowing,
you think?
knowing my mom was not going to be there. Was very, it hit me harder than I ever thought it would, honestly. And so we went and got you guys, I went with you guys to get the keg. You guys took the keg to the row house, and I went instantly home to go shower and shave and get ready. So I could go up and at least visit my mom, and so she could see me in my tux before the wedding. And then Sean was going to pick me up and take me up there. But then I discovered my sister was already ready. So all she had to do was drive over in the time while I was showering. So she picked me up and took me over there. Sean met us up at the room with his computer, and we discover that...
Wait, so before we get away from the keg, can I interject?
Yes, because I also forgot...
I have an apology for Sean. We went to pick up the keg, and a guy rolls it out on the... dolly, and he puts it next to Sean's car because that's what we're going to put in the back seat of the car. And he dumps it off and takes the dolly and goes inside. And Sean grabs this keg and he goes, and he gets it in the back seat. And I'm laughing at the guy going, oh God, come on. It's not that heavy. I can lift a keg. Come on. So we drove to the row house, and we get out, and Sean's getting ready to get the keg out of the back. So, no, let me. And I reach in there, because I'm going to hoist this thing right out and set it on the ground, and I go, and I look at Sean, and I say, that's heavier than it looks. So we both proceeded to carry it in together.
Which is great. And
we set it down two or three times.
And to the stairs and stop.
Anyway, and sorry.
Up the stairs and stop. Sean also, while he was at the row house, was able to pick up my mom's corsage.
Yes. Not boutonniere.
Because I got that confused on the day.
That was the least of your worries.
Take my mom her flowers.
He asked me, he says, will you pick up my mom's boutonniere? No.
And as soon as he said no, I'm like, oh, whatever it's called.
You know him way too well. Yeah.
And so we were able to take my mom her boutonniere, and she was initially getting ready still, even though she wasn't going to make it, so we could take some pictures. And it just, time got so crunched. Because we needed to be there by 3:30, and then we got word that because initially we were going to do our pictures at 3:30, then Sarah would do her pictures at 4, pre-wedding stuff. Obviously, we wouldn't see each other in this time period.
The best laid plans.
We flip-flopped them,
which worked out really well. Because we should say Sarah had been there since 12:30. At the row house,
longer than, or not that long. Her hair.
Oh, because your hair appointment was at noon.
Her hair appointment was at noon.
At
so
the very least.
I think she was there beforehand, though.
I think she's yeah. She
oh,
left.
She was.
She left
yeah.
earlier
and
than noon.
Left to get the hair and then came because she was there when we delivered the cake.
She was.
Yeah.
So. That was at two.
And so she. 30. She probably got in her dress at like 3 as soon as she found out that my mom was in the hospital or wasn't going to make it. She obviously knew my mom was in the hospital. So we were up there, gave her her corsage, and took some pictures of me and my sister and her together, and me and her together, since we weren't going to get those pictures. And then it got almost 4 o'clock, and Megan and I had to just run down to the row house, luckily, which is only a few blocks away.
Yeah.
Now, Glenn's at the row house during all this.
Yes.
And he's got his Mac out, and he's borrowing Wi-Fi from the Ronald McDonald.
No, I was stealing Wi-Fi. I was stealing it with a really good signal and going, this is going to work. This is going to work.
I'm at the hospital with your mom, and
we can't get Wi-Fi in the room working.
The Wi-Fi in the room would not connect. Didn't matter what I tried.
Apparently, it's so it's open. It's not secured, but the security settings are so high, you can hardly do anything on it.
Yeah.
You couldn't even access Gmail.
Yeah,
we couldn't do Skype. We couldn't do Gmail.
They were blocking everything because of the security
settings.
What's
the point of even having the Wi-Fi if you can't even access email?
So I call the nurse in, and I'm asking the nurse. I was like, "Can we do something about this? You've got 19 different internet connections listed here that are popping up as available, but they're secured. Can we get a password? She's going to be online for Skype. That's it." She's watching the wedding. I mean, you know what's going on.
To be fair, the doctor, well, not to be fair to the doctor, the doctor's a jerk. And not for just this. I'll get into that in a little bit. The nurse that came in to break the news to her was so apologetic and so sorry. And all the nurses were wonderful and tried to bend over backward as much as they could.
I have nothing against the nursing staff. I have huge against the doctor. My hackles are still up over that doctor.
Just wait till you hear some more about this doctor.
You go and you make this thing and you make the decision that you can go to the wedding. And then you pull it back and say, no, you can't go to the wedding. And he didn't have enough cojones to come in there and tell her himself.
Yeah.
He sent an underling to do it. That's uncool. And if he'd have been there, he'd have gotten what for from me. My mom told me I needed to calm down because it wasn't my mom and it wasn't my hospital and they didn't have to talk to me about anything. I said, I don't care, Mom. That's uncool. She says, you're just looking to pick a fight. So we can't get the Wi-Fi to work.
You were thinking as if it were your own mom.
Yeah. Well, your mom is my mom in a way. I mean,
pretty much.
She's cool like that. So we can't get the Wi-Fi to work. No, they won't give us a password to any other connections.
And they say the connection might be better in the lobby.
So the new plan is we're going to hook an IV up to your mom, and we're going to put her in a wheelchair, and we're going to wheel her downstairs to in front of the gift shop where there is a Wi-Fi hotspot, and maybe it'll work better. So they get all that stuff set up and truck her downstairs and put the IV in and everything, and I bring the laptop down there, and I can't get anything down there either. So then Glenn calls me. He's like, so are you on? I was like, no, we're having problems. Click, cell phone disconnected. Because you know what it's like to try and get a cell signal in a hospital? Doesn't happen. So I don't know. We phone tagged back and forth like 7-8 times trying to are you there? Is it not? And then disconnected. Can't get the internet to work. Your mom's on the verge of tears. She's like, it's okay. Well, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You need to go.
When I hugged her, when I left, there were tears from both of us.
And there was nothing. Everything in my power. And I went back to the contingency plan because one of the things I thought of is I'm going to call one of the guys from Sprint. I'm going to get a mobile broadband card. I'm going to bring it up there. So that way we don't have to worry about any Wi-Fi hokey stuff. It'll be my Wi-Fi hokey stuff going on. We'll have it. But because she was going to get out, contingency plan went away. Didn't worry about it. So I'm kicking myself for that now.
And we were on the first floor. You guys were on the first floor. You're so close to the exit.
That's it. So when she's like, you've wasted, you're done. You need to go. I mean, I am past that 10-minute reserve fuel point at this point. If this was a helicopter, we'd have gone down because I waited long past where we were supposed to.
On the phone with me, he says, what's the absolute latest I can leave here? 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. So you guys are holding things up, and I'm holding things up,
we're still able to get all of her pictures done in time.
She looks at me and she says, "Just go." And there was a moment, and I looked at your mom, and I looked at the door. She's got the IV thing with the pole, right? I'm like, I'll throw that in the back seat. She can be in the front with her arm like this. I'm working it out, and she sent me on my way, and I didn't do it, and I. Kicking myself for not doing it.
Luckily, Glenn was able to call in the big guns at the last minute.
Called in a favor.
Yes. We've talked about Dave many times. Our friend, the director, brought in a two-camera crew, two microphones set up to record the wedding for us, which was so wonderful.
Which I called him and said, hey, do you got any little cameras charged? You can come here to shoot videos so that Keith's mom can see this wedding. Well, the only ones that got charged are the big ones. You want one camera or two? I said, well, just bring one down here. She just needs to see the ceremony. All right. I'll bring two just in case. All right, all right. But don't make it a big deal because we just need some video so she can see it, you know, because this is, cause, I mean, he charges a lot of money for weddings because they're big. It's hard. They're big
it's,
things.
It's a lot of together. Work. Yeah.
So it's, all right, all right. Dave doesn't do anything small. Okay, should I bring a mic? Well, do you need a mic? Well, yeah, because, you know, you want to be able to hear what's going on. Because well, if I'm in the back of the
no
room.
There's no shotguns on those.
Yeah,
either.
If I'm in the back of the room, there's no shotguns on these. All right, I'll bring a mic. Bring
that's
a mic.
That's a technical thought, term for the microphone that yeah. sticks off the front of
so
the camera.
I thought, okay, bring a mic. You know, so she'll want to hear it. Okay. So at this point, I'm thinking, okay, one camera, microphone, we'll put it on the. On
that's
the,
what I was
we'll
thinking.
We'll put it
too.
On
the minister.
Minister. Okay, that'll take up everything. So he comes wheeling in the one camera and he sets it all up. He says, all right, run out and get me the battery. So I go out and get the battery. So he's got his wife in there who does Burke the Square with him. She's hooking the minister up the mic. Okay, now where's Keith? We got the other mic for Keith. Seriously? So, all right. Okay, now I'm going to run out and get the other camera.
What? He what? Went so above and beyond. It was so wow. spectacular.
It's like, ooh,
okay. I was blown away by it. And he goes, like, we're sending your sister back to mic you up. I'm like, whoa, what? Okay. Which, and it turned out to be the two mics probably worked in our favor, and I'll get to that in a minute.
Okay. So you've seen the video.
I haven't seen the video.
Oh, okay. You mean squeak?
I mean squeak.
Could you hear her at all?
Sarah.
Apparently.
Was so cool.
Oh, I figured barely. I was blocking most yeah. of the sound, but there wasn't much getting to me barely. At all.
Yeah. I'll explain why in a minute. Yeah.
Okay.
So he gets that all set up, and so I'm still waiting to see the video, but we at least have that going on. And I don't know if my dad got the pictures of it, but it's the door. I'm texting with Sarah throughout all of this, and we're getting our pictures done. And I find out the cake's not there yet.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean the cake's not here yet? I thought it was just in the kitchen. It wasn't out on the table yet. And then as I'm texting with Sarah about the cake not being here, he shows up.
Delete.
Well, no. I'm like, what do you mean the cake's not here yet? And she's like, talk to my mom. And I go to find her mom, and she's off doing something, and so I don't bother. And then he shows up. But he doesn't have the cake topper. Zup.
Well, you didn't talk about me having to strong arm the door to open it.
And you having to force the door open so we can get the end up the ramp.
By the way, my shoulder's still a little tender.
The door was stuck.
You did it force so masterfully.
The door will open. You just have to really give it a shove.
Yeah. You went at that
yeah,
door.
Yeah, you really
like,
have to give it a shove.
You looked
might
like
as well just
Hulk
kick it.
Plowing through something. You were like, ah, door! And then it
we
opened.
We need cake!
But he doesn't have the cake toppers, which we had.
Toppers. No?
Two.
What? What was the other
topper? M.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We had an M that was supposed to go in it.
Or the front.
For Miles. Mm-hmm. And a ceramic TARDIS, which there's pictures online.
Your
hopefully
cake
you've seen it.
Was awesome.
Our
both
cake,
your cakes were
both
awesome.
Our cakes were awesome. Oh. And after the words, we need to discuss what we need to do with K9. What we should do with K9.
Well, the other cake was awesome until somebody cut the butt off.
You didn't eat the
We haven't eaten K9 yet.
Oh.
I cut. People came up and asked for chocolate. K9 was chocolate. I didn't want to cut into K9, but then I heard people came up and asked for chocolate, so I cut into K9 and nobody ate the chocolate.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah.
Well, it was going to go bad anyway. You couldn't save it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like beer.
You save the top layer, though, right, to eat next year or something?
We save the top of the actual cake. We haven't decided if we're going to save it for next year or just eat it at our 1 month. Because I've heard after a year it's crap.
It's bad.
So we don't want to.
We didn't save ours because we've heard it.
Yeah, we don't want to wait that long.
In fact, I think we tasted.
So we might do it at 1 month anniversary of our wedding. K9's in my fridge. I don't know what we're gonna do with it. The head is Rice Krispie.
Bring
treat.
It over Friday night. Ooh.
I thought about
wait,
bringing
it's
it.
Some Rice Krispie treat.
The head is Rice.
Get out of here!
I don't know. Well, that's the only way that he could do it without making it too heavy.
Oh, bring it over.
But I don't know if I want. Of anything to save, the head could save.
We'll say a nice prayer or something before we devour it.
I thought about bringing it over tonight, but I didn't want to carry it.
Anyway, go ahead. We gotta wrap up. We're going to go way super long.
I haven't
here.
Even touched on the honeymoon.
We haven't got the Cosmelia.
Okay, so. The cake finally arrives. The cake topper's not there. Eventually, the cake topper arrives. He sends in his lackey to bring it in. He doesn't even bring in the cake topper.
Well, because he's already screwed up.
Yeah. And not to
like
mention
a certain doctor we know.
Not to mention he was supposed to be there at noon. He showed up at 4:30.
Yeah.
We are not happy with him. He did a great job with the cakes, but we are not happy with
Dino.
Him. Dino, we are not happy with you.
But we may interview you later for a cake-themed podcast.
Because he's done a TARDIS, too. Hopefully he was on time with that one.
Anyway.
But the wedding went off without a hitch, despite all the bumps in the road. And those doors opened, and I saw Sarah. And for the third or fourth time that day, I welled up with tears. Because she was so beautiful, and seeing her walk down that aisle was just...
She positively glowed.
She did.
I mean, you hear
did.
That. It sounds cliche to say that about, oh, the bride was beautiful.
And people said she really glowed just at the rehearsal.
Yeah.
And then she was if anybody's seen the photos, you know she was absolutely stunning on the actual day.
Well, I know somebody else that glowed.
Me? Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I was glowing.
Well,
that's the best you'd ever seen. Me.
It was the bright red bruise on your shoulder from muscle in that door. You, Keith, you were happier than man.
Yes,
I maybe ever seen you. I mean,
probably.
That's what I told Sarah before I left. I said, you know, I don't see her very often. I mean, I do, but not that much. Not as much as you guys.
Yeah. Well,
obviously not.
But you see me every day.
I don't see her very often, but I said, you know what? Of all the times that I've seen you, this is the happiest I have ever seen you. And she had, from the moment I saw her walk through that door, she had this smile on her face.
And it never
did
went
not
away.
Leave the whole night.
Yeah.
It was incredible. You did too. But, I mean, she glowed.
She was
beaming with pride and joy, and this was her day, and she was marrying the guy that she loved. And it was incredible. And I was just soaking it up. But it's just fantastic. Anyway, go on.
And she actually told me tonight that she was in there during the ceremony. She was like, wow, we're getting married, and I can't believe I get to marry you. And oh, wait, I should listen to what the minister's saying. And the reason
can I ask a question about that?
Okay, we told him traditional vows. Those were not the traditional vows.
No, they were not.
I was there for that conversation.
I did traditional vows. Those were not the traditional vows.
And he went on and on and on. And
that was not what we agreed to.
And about the midway part of that paragraph, you were like, dude, seriously? And Sarah, you're stumbling through it, not from any lack of commitment or preparation or anything, but it's just
we didn't know what these were.
Yeah, I mean, it was just
at that point he's thinking, I could have made my own. It would have been shorter than this.
Well, when he got to the point of,
and then there was a long one that I stumbled over, and then to obey, I'm waiting for more. Yeah.
You couldn't have just tacked to obey into that same sentence.
When he got to that one about, when I look at you, I'm reminded of Leviticus 9:14, and I'm thinking to myself, nobody's ever reminded of Leviticus 9:14. What are you talking about?
I both had that thought of like, oh, really, we are. Really.
I'm reminded of Leviticus. Wait, what is that?
Which verse is that again?
Obviously, I can't see you because I was behind you, but I could see over your shoulder. And the look on her face was priceless because she was like, what? And I wanted to ask you. I mean, I really wanted to pull you aside and go, dude, what are you? The short version. Let's go. But he just.
I'm the preacher's kid. I read the Bible cover to cover. I'm not thought of Leviticus.
So then you get through with yours, and there's this collective. Not because, the groom, he did it, he was okay, because it was, holy crap, that was a lot of stuff. And then he looks at Sarah, and she's like, oh, God.
Because now it's her turn.
And so I'm sitting there, and he launches into it, and I'm looking at her going, ditto, just say ditto.
Oh, it would have been better. I'm reminded of when Harry met Sally.
It was.
I'm reminded when the doctor married River.
I mean, I don't. I'm not making. I don't want to poke fun at anybody's. But oh man, it just was like.
I don't think you're poking fun of
anybody. No, not at all. People came up and asked me afterwards. They were like, "I didn't think Keith and Sarah were all that religious." I'm like, "They're not.
We don't know where that came from."
Sarah is more than I am.
But not to that extent.
Not to that extent.
Not Leviticus.
Not to Leviticus. And the minister was
whatever it was.
The minister, who's a really nice guy,
fantastic
really,
guy.
He did a really good job. Nothing bad to say about him. He did her brothers, and so it was her parents paid for it. Her parents got to choose.
I think I blackballed myself with it because I was trying to be sociable and do the mingling thing right beforehand. It was either right before, maybe right after. I had to run off and do a duty at some point. Not
is that when
one.
You told the minister that you were a professional best man?
Yeah.
Okay. So I said...
He did.
Nice. I told him, I was like, you look really familiar to me. I think you've officiated at another wedding that I may have been involved in. And he says, do you do a lot of these? And I was like, yeah, I'm almost a professional best man at times.
Career best man.
I wind up doing this a lot. And he says, well, have you ever been married? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I've done that a lot, too.
And he says, well, did I do yours? And I was like, no, neither one of them. And he kind of gave... He kind of had that...
Neither one of them.
You're a divorcee. I can't talk to you anymore.
And after that, I was ostracized. He couldn't... He was like, nope, I'm done with you.
I'm kind of glad he didn't know about my previous. He might not have agreed to do it.
Whispering around the water cooler later. Don't talk about that.
Very nice guy.
Well, he was
fantastic, and he did a really good job.
And he's very funny, and, I mean, he's just...
And laid back. And he made everybody very... At least I thought made everybody very comfortable.
Absolutely. Even when we stumbled.
Relaxed.
And
well, who couldn't stumble over...
I got thrown. I knew what hand I was supposed to put the ring on. But she had put her engagement ring on the other hand, and it completely threw me.
Because you know you're supposed to put them together.
Well, yeah, but she put it on the left. Sean had the wedding ring,
right?
She had
which I did not lose.
Ring, which you did not lose, despite the hole in your pocket.
Despite the hole in my pocket,
which there was.
Which I didn't realize there was holes in the pocket. Hole, yeah, I reached in there.
That's for?
Wow, I hope Sean got the rings because there's a hole in my pocket.
You know what those are for? So you can tuck your shirt in more.
Oh, so you can do it in your pocket.
Yes.
So you can pull it down. Oh.
So it looks like you're playing with yourself.
Well, it's better than stuffing your hand on your pants.
Good point.
This is going to be a great photo. Hang on a second.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, there was a hole in my pocket, and I didn't lose the ring.
That's where there were. But so I did not expect her engagement ring to be on the other hand, so it threw me. I was like, wait, what? So there was a little moment of that. The reason why Sarah was so quiet, she says, during her vows, was that she was afraid that if she was any louder, she'd start crying.
Mm. Aww.
Yeah. So I'm glad there were two microphones to pick her up.
Yeah.
Because she was so quiet.
You did pretty good. I don't know if you hit the back row, but you projected pretty well. But Sarah was like, yeah. And I found myself leaning forward, going, "What?" Yeah.
Well, I think if you watch the video, we're probably all doing this a little bit.
Luckily, I had mine first and it was the exact same, so everybody had heard it and didn't have to sit through it again.
Oh, did they remind her of Leviticus too?
They did.
Oh, okay.
Every time she looks at you. I'm going to have to look that one up to find out what I'm reminded of.
And you know what? We realized this on the drive.
I'm going to give him a plaque.
We realized this on the drive down to Jackson. We never said, "I do."
Yeah, that's traditional, but you pledged a vow.
We
so you
pledged
don't have to
vows.
Say, "I do."
But we just realized.
You're good.
Oh, we never said, "I do."
Yeah.
More importantly, I signed the certificate.
That's true, and as did Beth, Sarah's matron of honor.
That's the part that I think is just absolutely bizarre, is that with a minister and two witnesses, you can marry any two people you want legally.
You don't even have to have
a
minister.
You don't have to have a minister. You just have to have somebody that's ordained by...
Not even ordained.
Ordained by... Well...
They got to be some sort of officiant.
But actually, I don't think so.
You have to have an ordination.
I looked it up the first time. My first time. It doesn't have to be ordained. It just has to be someone to fill out that application that's separate and different from the signatures.
Really?
See, I thought I looked it when I was ordained. I thought I looked it up and it said that you had to.
In most states, you have to be ordained, but Kansas, you don't.
I was all excited when I got married, and I was like, I get signed the marriage license, and I walked over, and they said, no, we don't need you.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? It's my marriage license.
You fill the thing out, but you don't have to sign it.
No, no.
Well, it was all, it's all typed up there, too.
They did nothing.
Oh, well, I had to fill out a worksheet, and then they typed it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently, I wasn't trusted with that. Because
apparently your mind took care of that.
Yeah, I looked at the priest and was like, so you want to go marry some other people? I got my pen.
But the rest of the wedding went off great.
Fantastic reception.
The reception was a lot of fun. Sean did a fantastic toast, which you can see on our YouTube page, channel.
Meant every word of it.
Thank you very much. Despite the lack of people drinking beer, it was great. And then afterwards,
well, now there were not only was there a TARDIS top of the cake, not only was there a canine,
as Christy
cake,
pointed out,
not only
in
was
the pictures,
a banner out front that said congratulations Keith and Sarah, and had two TARDISes on the ends. Did you do that,
the banner?
Yeah.
No, that was Shalice did all the centerpieces, all the flowers. Okay.
The other thing is they not only did they have that, they had these gorgeous centerpieces that had these little beads that when they got wet, they expanded.
Yeah.
We were having a lot of fun with
those. They were squishy. Everybody had fun with those. They were marble-sized.
I want to take credit for this because ultimately I think I down the road found this and launched this idea.
Well, and yes, really.
But they had these.
What this means is that you're going to take the blame from a certain somebody who had to fold all these.
I didn't
have to do it.
They had these little.
Sarah's mom took care of it over the 6 months we were engaged.
Cardboard paper TARDISes that had candies in them.
I did do some of the stickers on the candies.
Keith and Sarah, and then there was one that said kisses. I do. And,
yeah, and yeah. There were kisses that had stickers on the bottom.
Oh, he's got one. Do you have any of these left?
I don't know. I grabbed all of them.
They're all behind you. Yes.
Oh, you're my lifesaver. I walked out of there and I went home and went, oh, I didn't get a TARDIS. Darn it.
Nobody took the favors. I'm going to take a few. Everybody ate the candy.
All right.
But nobody took the TARDISes.
Well, is there still candy? Oh, there's still candy.
So we had ones that had Keith and Sarah and our date.
Yes.
With a heart on it. That was the kiss.
Yes.
And then there's the candy bars wrapped.
Yes. They say love. And then Sarah and Keith and the date. Anyway, they're in these fantastic, which if you've
seen. Craft.
If you've seen, QB Craft, yeah. So I went to QB Craft. John Boy gets credit for this.
Thank you, John Boy, for the favors at my wedding.
All right. Quickly, because we're running really late here. John Boy told me that he had a TARDIS that he downloaded from QBCast Craft at work that he had put together on his desk that incited a lot of discussion at his work. I decided to go to that website, downloaded one for myself, cut it out, put it on my desk, had an extra one that I had printed out, so I gave it to Keith. Keith folded it, put it together.
It got crushed at some point.
That's where the idea came for.
Yeah. Pretty
so
much.
We had discussed it.
we had discussed having what really the favors easy. Could be, and I mentioned that there are paper cutouts you could do of TARDISes.
Hey!
And they were like, let's do that. And Sarah's mom, over 6 months, slow, every night.
Fantastic.
And
they printed a really nice cardstock.
Yeah, she did. She did fantastic. And Sarah brought home the first one. I'm like, that looks great. The light's not on it. She's like, oh yeah, you're right, we can't have that.
Anyway, if you saw the pictures, these are sitting on all the tables.
There are about 9 billion pictures of this on my Facebook page.
Do you have any pictures of you in our chucks?
Yes.
Good. Oh, who was it that emailed?
Chrissy.
Was it Chrissy?
Chrissy commented on one of the pictures.
Yeah.
I have pictures from us.
Somebody, I don't think it was Chrissy. I think it might have been Holly or...
No, I'm pretty sure it was Chrissy on the comments.
It was a comment on the page.
Asked about all this stuff we heard about the Chucks.
Yeah,
it was Chrissy. Okay.
I have official pictures from...
Ooh, a special dark. I'm eating chocolate out of the TARDISes.
I have the pictures from our photographer. I'm getting pictures tomorrow from my sister and dad, who took almost as many pictures as the photographer.
which is fantastic.
Yeah, which is great because the photographer
she was doing a good job. I haven't seen them, but she was doing a great job.
And we looked at the pictures tonight, and they look great. But when you guys walked down the aisles, she got the backside of you because she wanted to get Sarah coming down progressively. My dad was able to get the front side.
Yay!
So we had both sides of the aisle
terrific.
Covered. But we have picture. I saw the pictures with our Sonics, which looks fantastic. There's one with our Sonics where you can't see your Chucks, and there's one with our Sonics where you can see the Chucks. So I'll probably.
So she varied that up too. That was good.
I'll post that on the website.
She was young. She was young.
She's still in high school.
She's learning. But she looked like
amateur.
She really knew what she was doing.
And
she needed to be more assertive with us, but
yes.
Unfortunately she had the assistant that was very assertive with us.
Her grandmother, yes.
Oh, is that who it was?
Yeah.
Well, and we're old head at weddings, so we kind of
we really are. So we were just kind of calling out, we get this one? Do we get this one?
Yeah, so was I. I was like, okay, this set.
And I commented to Glenn that I felt a little
weird. The Abbey Road
weird.
Pictures looked good.
Oh, did they? Good. I commented, Glenn, I felt a little weird because normally you go to the wedding and you stand there and the photographer's yelling at you. I need you to do this. I need you to turn your head this way. I need you to put your hands down. And we didn't get any of that from her. It was just kind of like we lined up. She took a picture. Okay, it looks great. And we moved on. So there was a little concern on my part about this is going way too smoothly for photos.
The photos.
I think it's just attributable to you and I know what we're doing.
Yeah, we should do weddings.
And Blake kind of followed in suit. He was like,
"Let's just do weddings."
They're doing that. So.
Well, he's been in a couple too. So, so that was the wedding and reception. It was fantastic. Afterwards, we were able to go up. Sarah stayed in her dress. I stayed in my tux. Sean came along, and so did Blake. And we went up and visited my mom.
Yay!
So she was able to see Sarah in her wedding dress.
Very good.
And I showed mom the rings beforehand, but then she was able to see our rings on our hands and everything.
I'll make sure Dave gets that video then, if you haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah, so. I haven't yet. Okay. I haven't heard from him. I haven't contacted him either. But just for the record,
vacation to next week. Should we save vacation the next week?
We might not do.
Yeah, maybe we should save my holiday since we're going so long. Or I could record a side trip.
I'd be all right with that either way. Either way.
Because, I mean, I still have to listen to it in order to hear the stories.
You guys aren't going to be able to really provide input if decided from asked questions.
You're absolutely right.
So I might as well do a side trip.
Did you see a chupacabra?
I did not.
Then I have no interest in what you did.
Did you see this strange calendar that's supposed to run out?
Quick tangent. Our first excursion, we visited my New Orleans.
Yay!
And on the bus, he said he addressed that issue and explained how it doesn't run out.
It just starts over.
It just starts
Yay!
Over. And that there are three giant wheels to this calendar.
Right.
And every 52 years, part of it starts over. And this is the big start over. So he did address that, which I was really pleased
Atta
with.
Boy.
I think he's retconning.
I don't think so.
I've seen the Cusack movie. It's all going to end.
I'll record a side trip and go into great detail.
Which I will post, unlike Sean's Star Trek one, which
I'll
allegedly says
that.
Is in my Dropbox, but I can't find it.
I'll try to record that maybe tomorrow and get it to you.
Okay. We'll post two this week.
But real quick, for the record, my mom got released from the hospital on Tuesday.
Yay! How's she feeling?
She is doing a lot better. She went back to work today.
Oh, wow.
Very strict diet, low-fiber diet.
Yeah.
As I alluded to earlier, this doctor she had told her Sunday, that, oh, yeah, we'll get you on some liquids and then send you home. Before even
that was on Sunday.
Before getting even on food.
Oh, okay.
But he was like, "Well, what the surgeon? We'll see what the surgeon says." The surgeon, who I would recommend, not just because of her name, because her name was Doctor Who.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. H-U. Who?
Oh, I do know that. I do know that. She's at Stormont, right?
No, she's a
Saint. Or St. Francis,
yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I do know who that is.
Her name was Dr.
Who. I came across that several years ago, and I totally forgot about that. That's right. I forgot
about
that.
How cool is that? So my mom's surgeon was Dr. Who, I didn't know until we came back and visited
her. Let's interview her.
Yeah, really. And she was like, no, that's a stupid idea.
Erbinger?
No, no.
Oh, the doctor's about that. All right.
Oh, there it is. Sorry.
What was that?
That was a little sneak peek into Sean's side trip. Sorry. Oh. He punched a button, and I was like, "What's? There's nothing on there." And then it started. So.
I gave you run-up.
Anyway.
But the doctor determined that was a very stupid idea. Don't listen to your other doctor. And slowly weaned her on food, and she was able to go home on Tuesday.
Oh, good.
And she's doing a lot better. Strict diets, low-fiber diet. As her colon
will be for a while,
as her colon recovers for a while, and then they'll see. They didn't really seem to imply much about popcorn or seeds and stuff. Like
I know that's what they told Mel is pretty much anything with seeds, strawberries, or poppy seeds, or popcorn.
On her list of things she can eat, she has to stay on low fiber right now. Soon she can go to mid fiber, and in that is air pop popcorn.
Hmm.
So I don't.
I wonder if that's a different. Maybe Mel had a different type.
Maybe
of
she's on a couple different. She's on literally two antibiotics right now as she recovers. I heard from her today. Work was okay. It was more tiring than she expected. But when we stopped by on Sunday after we came back, she had said she'd been recovered to a point where she can't nap during the day or else she can't sleep at night. So yeah. that is great progress.
That's very much
alone
for your
so,
mom. It is, yeah,
yeah,
because that falls back into her kind of pattern.
Yeah.
What is the evil doctor? What is his name?
Dr. Sherma.
Dr. Sherma. We at Traveling the Vortex would like to say this. That sir is
here.
That sir is for your bedside manner and your questionable,
outright lying. Pretty much.
Medical ability.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll record our honeymoon and cruise side trip, and we'll get that posted to the website.
Okay.
And
remind me. You'll be back at work this week.
I'll be
though,
back
so,
at work
right.
tomorrow, unfortunately.
Sorry.
I thought I had an extra day. I was wrong. But listens to it, and if you guys have any questions, bring it to me next week.
Sounds good. That's a good
I
idea.
I think that's a very good
I might
idea.
Even have try to arrange for Sarah to sit on some of the...
That would be cool.
Like Mel and I did with the Galley podcast.
Yeah, if I can arrange it and we can do it before she goes to bed because she has to get up so early because of work. And when I get home, it's kind of... There's a little bit of time. But if we can do it, I'm going to try to swing that.
It's a date.
Well, even if you record it this weekend.
Yeah, it'll
be late.
At the latest, it would be Saturday.
All that means is that it's like a big Finnish audio we have to listen to before we record.
I just have to put it up Sunday because I won't be in town Saturday. So.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be gone anyway.
I might be able to go through the steps and put it up.
I'll be home Sunday. I'll be home all day Sunday.
I might be able to put it up.
We're going up Saturday morning, come back Saturday night. So.
Which we're going to have to record Sunday early.
Yes, right. Because he's
that's the thing we're not doing shows.
Yeah, really. Go to the barbecue for a little bit and leave.
You guys got anything else? Two of the greatest shows in the galaxy. Actually, one of them was really great. One of them was just a show.
Just all right.
So, anything else?
I don't think
that's
so.
It.
Do you want to do some housekeeping before we go?
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
Real quick.
In case you haven't seen the website.
In case you haven't seen the website, because we finally have a release date. If you haven't heard, Doctor Who Series 7 comes out. September 1st.
Is it September 1st?
September 1st.
Awesome. I had heard.
Isn't that Saturday?
That is Saturday.
That's Saturday.
Woo!
We are T-minus Tuesday. Well, now it's after Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday,
Monday,
Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
No, 5 days!
Oh, yeah, we should, huh?
Two of you can have a viewing party.
Okay. Sounds good. John Boy, if you're listening, we're having a viewing party next week. Make sure you have it ready to go.
Because Glenn won't.
Friday. This Friday. You're going to join?
I better get you the...
You better get us the disc because you're the one that purchased it.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Have you seen this ready for...
I'll bring it.
He's seen it.
Thursday, if I don't. I have seen it.
This is the one he keeps thinking he hasn't seen, but
right.
He has.
Okay. Then, were you here when I told you that...
I think a little bit.
Yeah. I had a confession that I thought that Day of the Daleks was...
Oh, okay. Yes. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you still going to watch it and refresh yourself?
Actually, I have just watched it recently. In fact, I was telling Sean last week I watched the special edition version, although you're not allowed to watch the special edition because we watch...
We watch the original.
So
make sure you
do
that.
Friday Night Who, August 31st, we will be pressing play at midnight on Day of the Daleks. right?
Mm-hmm. It is Day of the Dogs.
Day of the Dogs. Yes. With John Pertwee. And then...
And Unit.
And
Joe
Unit,
Grant.
And Joe Grant. Ooh. And all of that fun stuff. And then our show that week will be Dalek Archive 6.
I can't believe we've done this. I mean, there are a lot of Dalek stories.
Well, we're almost out of them.
We're almost out of televised.
That'll be it. Televised. Yeah. Once we watch Day of the Silence.
From this point.
That's it.
Well, we'll still have the Space Museum of the Chase.
Oh, you're right. You're right. We do have some Hartnells. You're right.
Some Hartnells left, but not many. But I don't own those.
Well, those are all missing.
So then we'll do Dalek Archive 6.
Oh, we have Dalek Invasion. Or not Dalek Invasion. The other one.
We already did that one.
No, the other one. Dalek Master Plan, which some...
Yes,
exists.
Some of that.
Anyway, sorry.
And then we have the Peter Cushing movies.
And we do have the Peter Cushing movies. I wish I had them on some other VHS, though. I don't have
the library has the first one.
On DVD?
Yeah.
Really?
I think they might have both. I need to double check.
So what's coming up?
Tangerine.
So what's on the schedule, Sean?
So Day of the Daleks on Friday. Right. Then our show will be Dalek Archive 6, covering Day of the Daleks. And that little thing that might have started on Saturday, 5 days from now, Asylum of the Daleks.
Is that a Dalek story?
I think it's a Dalek
story. Awesome. That's nice to know. I like Dalek stories.
Do you want to go through the full season here?
Run through.
All right. The following week, we're staying in the Pertwee era, only this time with Sarah Jane, Planet of the Dinosaurs.
Why are we doing that, Sean?
Well, we're going to talk about that in our show. Number 89 will be Planet of the Dinosaurs. And a little thing
it's
that...
Planet? I thought it was Invasion.
No, it's Planet of the Dinosaurs.
Planet.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's Invasion of the Spiders.
Invasion of the Spiders.
Planet of the Dinosaurs.
I thought it was Planet of the Spiders, Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
Oh, it is Planet of the Spiders. He's right. Wow. The novice.
I get to go up a rank.
The novice corrected you. It is
I get
Invasion
a
of the Dinosaurs.
Invasion of the, oh, I don't have that one. That's why I'm confused. He's right. Okay, I think I typed that in wrong on the website. I will correct that. It's Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
This is the dinosaur episode with Pertwee.
With Pertwee. And then Dinosaurs in Space. Although I think that is actually
dinosaurs
been conquered
on a
now. It's Dinosaurs on a Spaceship.
On a spaceship, yes.
So,
do I need to proofread your post?
No, it's just this. It's just the post is probably wrong on the planet. But well, because they changed it. They thought they were going to switch it up, and then somebody
and
said,
then
no,
what are we doing,
is.
Sean?
Okay, so we've got the two dinosaur episodes together.
I always saw them.
Friday Night Who the following week. We're going to go back to William Hartnell's era with The Gunfighters.
Why are we doing that, Sean?
Well, because the next episode from Matt Smith's season is going to be A Town Called Mercy. They're both Westerns.
Oh! You're so clever.
Serendipity.
The following
what
week.
Luck.
What a crazy random happenstance.
It's almost serendipity. The following week, we're going to do Battlefield with Sylvester McCoy.
Why are we doing that, Sean?
Well, because it's a unit story, Glenn. And you know what that means.
Spoilers.
Potentially. We don't know for sure. The Power of Three.
It's speculation.
Is supposed to be a unit story.
That's what we have heard.
That's
so
what
we're
going
to go on that for now.
So we're going to assume.
So
that
our really clever.
We hold the, we
may
hold the
fall
right
apart
to change
by
that.
Fourth,
nah,
by fourth
we're going to stick with it because I just bought it. And then finishing out September on the 28th, Friday Night Who, we get a short one. Blink with David Tennant. Because,
why are we doing that one, Sean?
Well, it'll be the first Weeping Angel story. Because then, episode 92, the Angels take Manhattan.
Yay!
And we just did the Angel two-parter for Friday Night Who not too long ago. Mm-hmm. So
aren't you clever?
Yeah. So we won't actually review Blink because we've obviously already done that.
Right.
But I think we're going to wind
well,
up spending
a lot of fun.
I think we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the farewell ponds. Because it'll be the last episode.
And we'll want to discuss the entire
And we'll
first
kind
of
recap
the
first five episodes.
Yeah.
Well, not recap, but, you know, kind of
overall
impressions
overall
and that
impression.
Kind of stuff.
We'll talk about the story arc that was developed.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to go one more or just leave it at that?
What? There's another?
There's another.
Okay.
Well, the week after that, we go back to Peter Davison in The Visitation.
Oh, cool.
And then we're going to talk about The Visitation.
Why are we going to talk about The Visitation?
Because we're also going to talk about the get-out-of-jail-free card.
What's that, Sean?
The Sonic Screwdriver.
Hey, doesn't he lose the Sonic Screwdriver in The Visitation?
Oh, spoilers.
Very nice. I heard you guys talking about that last week, about the Sonic Screwdriver episode.
Very
I was like,
clever.
I didn't know that was on the schedule.
Very
and now
clever.
That even makes more sense.
So, all right. Well, nice that. Job, Sean. So that's
for those
what you got to look
track,
forward to.
For 6 weeks, you don't need to worry about getting any big finish in.
Yes.
Yeah. No big finish.
Because I'm catching up on AFI's top 100.
No big finish during Matt Smith.
Although I am trying to read a book, so. Not a Doctor Who book, no.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get through Dirt Gently just because school started. It's been like, I can't read for leisure right
I'm
now.
I'm reading, is it Veronica Roth? Divergent. My wife read it, said it's really good. Hmm. So
I got a $10 gift certificate to Barnes & Noble for my birthday I need to go spend.
Dr. Who?
I'm debating on what to get. I might be able to get a book for that much.
One other thing to just kind of remind people, we do have ConX coming up in Kansas City. That will be the weekend of September.
Which Margot Kidder will not 14,
be 14, 15, and 16. Yeah. Margot Kidder will not be at. But James Tolkan will be.
What?
Strickland on Back
yeah.
to the Future.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right, that's right.
Along with
might
many.
Not be enough for me to go.
Oh, come on, he's Strickland, yeah. and the Joe Pace DeLorean is going to be there.
Yeah, I do. That is exciting.
We're planning on going just for the con experience. I don't. Right now, I don't plan on getting any autographs.
Yeah, I may not either.
Bob Gunton's going to be there.
Who's Bob Gunton?
He played the warden, among many other things. He played the warden in Shawshank Redemption.
All right. Yeah.
He was on Star Trek. He was in Patch Adams.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
Chekhov's going to be there.
Wait, Walter Koenig's there?
Walter Koenig's
there. Oh, I'm going. Then I'm going.
Okay. I thought you knew that.
No, well, maybe I did, but I forgot.
Denise Crosby's going to be there.
Too.
Oh, I'm going to take my, I'm going to take my, this is really.
We're supposed to bring an
this is really geeky, but I'm going to take my, actually, I should go buy the DVDs, but I have the animated series on VHS.
Oh.
And I actually had sent my cover of, I can't remember which
the
episode.
The Infinite Vulcan,
yes,
written by Walter Koenig.
And I was going to, I sent it with somebody to get it signed in Kansas City like 15 years ago. And he wasn't able to get it. So I'm going to take it this time and I'm getting it signed.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
We're going to have to bring back an autograph for Sarah's mom.
Walter Koenig
because
for Walter
she loved him. Yeah. Him so much.
But yeah, Denise Crosby's going to be there. And then
who's that?
Tasha Yar on
Action.
Oh,
right, 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 right.
And then the guy that played pretty much every Borg ever. It wasn't Vic Fontaine, so I didn't care. But there's a large...
Yeah, it might make it
worth it. They have a website. Kansas City who listen.
If you're in the area,
we'll have
if
a
you're
representation.
In Kansas City, we'll be represented there. I'm actually...
just walking around. It's not like we have a panel.
Well, no.
Here's the deal, though.
Or a booth.
I probably will cosplay.
Somebody might be cosplaying.
I might be able to get us press passes.
Oh. All right.
Ooh.
Ooh. So if we want to make a little bigger to-do about it and cover it, I can drum that up with the request for the press pass.
About that
so.
Off mic,
so. So anyway, if you're in the area, you can go to ConX, which is coming up. And then, of course, Thanksgiving weekend is Chicago TARDIS, which right. I think is kind of the other big one. Now, I heard that John Barrowman is doing something this weekend.
Yeah.
It's a different con.
It's a different con than the one that
the upcoming.
Right.
You said something about it.
Right.
And I don't know that. But again, Michelle, we'd very much like to hear your convention stories, if you had a good time and what Mr. Barman was like, etc. And then if anybody is going to the one this weekend, obviously we'd love to get stories from you on that experience as well. And
absolutely.
If you happen to get a bumper, we won't complain about it. So that's it for that.
Yep. All right. Well, that's going to do it then for this week. Until next week, I'm Glenn.
I'm Sean.
I'm Keith.
Cheers.
It's so nice to have that third person there to balance that back out because it was... just
weird.
Missing. It was not cool.
Sean, this is our opportunity to close the show in less than 5 minutes.
Fail.
Because you didn't do it last week.
No, I didn't. Good night, everybody.
Be seeing ya. Which your guys' be seeing ya together wasn't as bad as you thought it was.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, did we do a be seeing ya last week?
Together. We couldn't figure out how to end it, and we were like...
Oh, we did. We did the
be seeing ya.
Oh, yeah, we did.
It was cheesy, but it was nice.
It was nice.
It was horrible.
It was an homage to our third.
It was an homage to me. I liked it.
The third wheel on our strange little foreign car.
That we still don't know the name of.
I should look that up.
I'd like to think the third wheel of the stool, but okay. Or the third leg of the stool.
You'd rather be
I was trying to figure out what kind of stool I had.
You'd rather be thought of a stool
wheels.
Than a car?
Hey, without the third leg, that stool wouldn't stand.
He's got a point. It fell down last week.
According to Chrissy, at least.
You have been listening to Traveling the Vortex. Doctor Who and all of its associated programs are owned and trademarked by the BBC. No infringement is intended or implied.